This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Start at the pool with a nice young man who bought your car, with a lady singing on the radio. We're your favorite daytime TV star. All kinds of people you already know.
We're doctors, lawyers, movers, shakers, friends and neighbors, policy makers. And remember this about us: America couldn't do without us. Think of Providence, the West End, San Francisco. Without us they'd be a lot more like Fort Wayne.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is After Hours.
Queer Radio with Attitude?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. And you are?
Pissed. I'm Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
Oh, and I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm not pissed, and I'm the other one.
So, hola, ¿cómo estás?
So how are you doing? How was your week?
I hate short weeks.
Oh.
I'd rather have been sitting in work yesterday.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
I'm not going into it.
Okay, we're not going to go into it. Have you recovered from Pride?
Still tired.
Yeah.
Always tired, but at least the voice is back.
Yeah, that's we were both pretty strained last week. from the screaming. That was fabulous. That was really, really great. And again, I'd like to reiterate what I said last week, is that I considered the KPFT entry just a gift to the gay programmers, because it was mostly the straight people who put it together, and we got to just kind of show up and get on and go.
No, the person who sent in the app was a couple, was a lesbian couple. Mary.
Who?
Mary.
Oh, really?
I wasn't referring to you, Mary.
Oh. Mary. The other Mary?
Yeah, the natural Mary.
The natural Mary. Okay. No, I didn't know that. Did not know that. Anyway, it's a new week. We celebrated another Day of Independence, because I consider the Pride Day the queer Day of Independence. That's what Stonewall was about. And then we had the 4th of July. So, and we opened up with the opening number to the second act of When Pigs Fly. Thought that was incredibly appropriate for a 4th of July. It's the queerest 4th of July thing I know.
It's about the only queer patriotic stuff we have in here.
Other that, then, what's the Leah Zicari? Mine eyes have seen the glory. Okay.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yes. Okay. She changes the words to that song, make it applicable to the queer community. Anyway, things going on in the community. And let's see. Tonight, we've got After Hours Quickie will be the Colts. And we've got Hatch here tonight. And all kinds of different goody things going on. And the big news this week, the biggest news that I think of the week, is that Jesse Helms died. And
you hear them back in that.
Yeah.
Possibly Jose.
There was much cheering going on in certain quarters of the gay community. Although Jesse had not been around for a while. He's been retired and in a nursing home and sick and all of that kind of stuff. But, boy, when he was around, he gave us hell. He did not like queers. He did not like a lot of things, but queers were right at the top of the list there. So he and Jerry Falwell are, you know, I wish I believed in hell, because that's where I imagine he and Jerry Falwell.
I love the one story from on his local television station.
Yeah,
made comment to the fact that he died on the same day as John Adams and Thomas Jefferson,
of which he had nothing in common with.
He was envious of those two because they owned slaves.
Oh, ouch. Oh, that's good. Were you thinking of that all week?
No. That just came.
Wow. Wow. Boy, you are pissed.
Chris, why are you upset tonight?
Anyway, things going on in the community. A few things going on in the community. Later on today is the PFLAG monthly meeting. It's held from 2 to 4:30 p.m. at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5501 South Main at Binns. And this is, I don't want to say the most important meeting of the year, but it's certainly one of the most popular ones, because this month they will have the PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship Foundation presenting some generous scholarships to many eager GLBT students. Over $100,000 in scholarships will be awarded this year. The PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship Foundation was created to recognize outstanding GLBT students and to contribute toward their continuing education. PFLAG and Hatch recognizes that specific opportunities for sexual minority youth are limited and the need for positive role models is acute. This program is designed to celebrate the achievement of individuals with minority sexual orientation or gender identity who are worthy of support. So, that's going on, if that's something you'd like to do. Or, if not, then the Houston Area Bears are having their monthly beer bust going on over at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. That's happening from 3 to 7 p.m. later on this afternoon. And come join the Houston Area Bears for their monthly social. And, of course, at Tony's Corner Pocket, you can see the Tony's Corner Divas every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. featuring Lillian Devereaux and her cast of beauties, at which will include three of the following each week on a rotating schedule: Anne-Marie Gill, Selena St. John, Marsha Mink Gill, and Regina Dane. Now, Arisa's, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc., would like to invite everyone to their July shows, which include on the 18th, Flip Flop Friday, hosted by Susan Hayes. That's happening 8:30 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. Then the next night, on the 19th, Hot Summer Nights, hosted by Falcon at 8 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket, again. And that's a direct benefit show for the Colt 45s. And, July 25th is the Oh Shoot Show, hosted by Chris Sushi Valk. And they don't have a time and place on that one yet. And then the big event on the 26th is the Fire and Ice Ball, hosted by Emperor 25 Bob Skinner and Empress 25 Kimberly O'Neill, 8 p.m. at EJ's. And that's benefiting the crew of Olympus. Other things going on with the Arisa's folks is on August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That is their big weekend for the Peasants versus the Monarchs weekend. It's that time of year when the peasants get to show off their stuff and prove to the monarchs that they absolutely cannot do the job without them. Well, that's coming from a monarch, of course. We cordially extend the invitation to everyone to join us August 1, 2, and 3 as the peasants of Arisa's raise the most money and recapture the flag that is so rightfully theirs. Friday, August the 1st, happy hour with the Minions, starting at 6 p.m., EJ's at 2517 Ralph. Come join John Paul, Crystal, and the rest of the peasants on the upstairs patio martini bar. Help us celebrate the beginning of the weekend. As part of the fun, there will be a court trivia contest with prizes and other fun things going on. Then Saturday on the 2nd, a salute to the Monarchs from 7 to 11 at Tony's Corner Pocket. And then Sunday, August the 3rd, the Monarchs Revenge, begin at 8 p.m. at the BRB, located at 2400 Brazos. We'll be talking about that again. And, of course, Coronation 25 High School Reunion, A Night Amongst the Pyramids, is coming up January 15th through the 18th. So you might want to mark that on your calendars and kind of circle that and keep it open. We'll give you more information as it comes around to us. Then over at ICOH, on Sunday, later on today, at EJ's from 4 to 8, they will be bartending and grilling. Their Majesties Mark and Chanel will be bartending in the upstairs bar, and His Most Serene Highness Dennis will be doing the grilling. So stop by for a drink and some munchies. Then on Sunday, July the 6th, Mr. Tony's Corner Pocket, 2008 Christopher Cubby Sparkles Boy Prado, presents Sounds of Freedom, It's Summertime, over at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas, showtime at 7 p.m. This is directly benefiting AIDS Foundation Houston Camp Hope Program through the Imperial Court of Houston, Rain 6. Then another thing from ICOH. It's that time again for an evening of Combined Forces 2. Come out and join us July the 12th at EJ's from 8 p.m. sharp. Yeah, right. We have a great show lined up of terrific performers from ICOH and the House of Capri. So that's going to be hosted by Artrail Capri and Gemini Empress Rose Smith. Cool. And let's see. What have you got over there?
Playgirl magazine is looking for the hottest, I'm sorry, oh, that hurts, the sexiest man alive.
Ooh.
The 2008 Sexiest Man Alive search is on, and Houston will be a part of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
When the contest opens on Saturday, July 12th at the Guava Lamp.
Oh.
Playgirl magazine is seeking the sexiest male to compete in over $15,000 in cash and prizes.
Wow.
The winner will be awarded a shoot in Playgirl magazine and a fabulous opportunity to tour the U.S. with the nationally acclaimed Men of Playgirl.
Ooh.
The winner also gets a chance to perform with the Men of Playgirl European tour.
Mm-hmm.
The six-week series kicks off at Guava Lamp, 507 Wall at Allen Parkway, at 10 p.m. Contestants will be judged on several different levels. Appearance, sex appeal, dance ability, style, and enthusiasm. Even though this is a Playgirl event, it will not be nude. No part of the series will require contestants to become nude.
Aww.
Each week on Saturday, a new group of men will give their hearts to a panel, and each week only one of the gorgeous men will advance to the semifinals. They will be on the 12th, the 19th, the 22nd of July, and the 2nd, 9th, and 23rd of August. And the 23rd will be the semifinals. The winner will it'll come down to one winner out of Houston.
Wow.
Who will go to Las Vegas for the finals. You also get a one-year coverboy contract to be the face of an ad campaign for a leading tanning salon here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Year of tanning and all sorts of other stuff.
Lovely.
For more information, you can contact the
Cade Michaels,
event promoter, Cade.Michaels, without the E in there,
yeah,
at CadeMichaels.com.
Huh.
I find it on his website too, CadeMichaels.com.
Yeah, M-I-C-H-A-L-S. Can you do this one too? My voice is weak tonight.
Summer Sinfest 08 Rock and Roll Peep Show.
I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be on Saturday, July 19th at the Meridian, 1503 Charters.
Mm-hmm.
Or Charters, Straight Rays, whatever you
Charters.
Want to call it. However you want to call
yeah.
it. Mr. Hardy Heberman will present the Erotic Rose Society's general meeting. Before that, everything you wanted to know to see a world-class educator and interact with a friendly pansexual community group. There'll be vendors hall there, traveling from as far away as New Mexico and Louisiana.
Hmm.
That's just to the left and just to the right.
Well,
An art gallery will be installed beginning at 4 p.m. in the Gray Room.
Ooh.
Dinner break, and everything will be closed, and then at starting back up at 8 o'clock, all the events occur with raffle going to Legacy, I believe.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
That's right.
And a fabulous goodie bag.
Mm-hmm.
For more information, you can check them out on the web at summersinfest.com.
Yeah, check that out. You and I are going to be there, aren't we?
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Michelle and Whitney.
Yeah, I know.
Deal. Yeah.
Also, just a little reminder that the Houston Council of Clubs presents Louis 36, and it's time for the pin and poster contest.
Yes, it is.
If you have a design that you would like to see as the official logo of Louis Let Us Entertain You Weekend, or the poster, which goes out to definitely out to San Antonio and anyone who drives up to Dallas. Last year we had them at every truck stop, gay bar, and bathhouse from here to Florida.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
They were popular, weren't they?
Well, Falcon ran them out.
I see.
You can design one, design one of them. You can design for the other, design as many as you want. The due date on it is Wednesday, July 16th
mm-hmm.
at the Ripcord. We're at the Ripcord for the next Louis meeting. You have a weekend to go, week and a half to go on that. For more information, go to louieweekend.com and click on the pin and poster contest information to find out all the little rules of what needs to be in and what can't be in.
Ah. A couple other things going on. On July the 10th at 7:30 p.m., you get a chance to preview a choral festival performance. Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church, 11th Street at T.C. Jester. You'll hear 30 minutes of music from each group, the Bayou City Women's Chorus, Gay Men's Chorus of Houston, Bayou City Chorale, and the Bayou Rhythms. It's a new small ensemble. Bring family and friends and enjoy. So I guess that's kind of like going to a dress rehearsal or something. But, you know, hey, free. Cool. And you get some great music from those groups. Then on the 12th, Saturday the 12th, Bering Omega Community Services and Omega House will be holding their annual memorial service and reception for those we have cared for and who have passed from AIDS. It will be held at Rothko Chapel, 1409 Sewell Ross, Saturday, July 12th at 1 p.m. And the very next day, Sunday, July the 13th, the BRB presents Christmas in July. That's happening at 7 p.m. And that, of course, is for the PWA Holiday Charities. That is a big, big, big show. And lots of really good entertainment. You shouldn't miss that. That's Sunday, July the 13th at the BRB. And that's kind of the goodies that I have for tonight. Unless you have some on the computer?
No.
Nope. Okay. I'm wondering if we've got anybody from the Colts here tonight.
Yeah, he's been sitting there since the start of the show.
Oh, okay.
Actually, before.
It's before the start of the show.
Yeah.
He
didn't smoke a cigarette, so he was here.
I see.
I'm subtle, aren't I?
Very.
Never.
I'm sorry, what's subtlety?
I don't know. Subtlety and sledgehammer start with the same word, so mm-hmm. I go that way.
So, what's going on with the Colts?
What's going on with the Colts? Well, yours truly here, Bubbles, will be performing in that show you just talked about next Sunday at the BRB.
Really?
Yes, I was asked by the DJ to do my signature number.
Oh, no.
So have a few drinks and a few cigarettes before you come in, Jimmy.
Oh.
You'll need them.
Oh, my. Oh, my. I know what number that is.
Yes.
Ooh.
I think that's going to come back to haunt me when I die.
You're going to bury you in that outfit, honey.
No, somebody's going to be playing that at my memorial. You can bet on it.
Oh, yes.
But the Colts are doing wonderful. We're still, you know, if anybody needs help with stuff, they can apply, you know, through us and get assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know where my president is tonight. Hopefully he's safe somewhere.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Well, I don't know where he's at. I'm not supposed to be doing this by myself.
Oh.
But I came in just for you.
Why, thank you.
And for my kids, too.
And your kids, too. That's right. You're going to be here for the At segment also, aren't you?
Yes, and it's going to be a long day tomorrow, so you better hope I can keep my eyes open.
Well, let's see.
But, oh, also, can I say one thing about the... Thank you, sir. One other thing at the BRB, the last Sunday, which I think is the 27th of this month, is the denim party. Jimmy didn't have that on his to-do list, but there will be the denim party. You can...
Denim party, Jimmy.
What about it?
We're just saying it's the 27th of this month, my dear.
Okay.
So you didn't have that on your calendar?
No, I didn't.
Hasn't been invited yet.
I haven't seen anything on it, to tell you the truth.
Well, it's at the BRB. I should know. I'm going to be back there slinging my tits with hot dogs and burgers.
My.
So.
Oh, my.
So
we don't want to know your secret sauce.
Make me lose it, Chris. You're just so sweet. But the Colt 45s, we've been in the community. We started since 1976.
Mm-hmm.
Our president is Stephen Bunch. Our vice president is Phil Lyles, a.k.a. Lillian Devereaux.
Mm-hmm.
Our secretary is Terry Goodman. And then our treasurer, well, right now I think we're going to be in between treasurers right now, but at right now I will go ahead and say it's still Dan until further notice.
Okay.
So, but we're there to help those who need, you know, that have HIV, I mean, with AIDS, mm-hmm. that need help with rental assistance, electrical bills, white, you know, the bills are going to be coming in, I'm sure, with this hot summer we're already having.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And the one that you said was doing a fundraiser for us, I really want to thank that person up front. I don't remember who you said it was.
So oh.
Was that Falcon?
Falcon, yes.
Okay, well, Falcon's one of our members, too, mm-hmm. so thank you, Falcon, if you're listening tonight, to say thank you from one cult brother to another cult brother.
There are a lot of cult brothers out there, past and present.
Yes. We've, you know, like I said, I'm sitting back looking at the people that I knew, like Walter Carter and Cal Moran, all the ones who have gone to their great beyond.
Yeah.
But like I said, they're still surviving, and us, most of us that are there, and the ones who always do benefits for us, that's very, very much appreciated, because, you know, we don't have anybody that's paid. It's all done by people like y'all in the community who do shows for us or whatever, and say, I want to get earmarked this to the Cult 45s. And
yeah, when you give money to the Cult 45s, you know it's all going to go to the clients.
Right. If you give $1 to me, I give that dollar back to the club, and that club pays some help. That dollar helps pay somebody's utilities. I know when I first started in the Cult 45s, I was thinking, well, you know, $50, ugh. But then I was pulled by Walter Carter and said, well, that's $50 that we didn't have that maybe somebody needed help with utility. And
that's right.
It stuck into my head.
That's
so
right.
I really do thank everybody.
The BRB provides free office space.
Yeah, we have an office upstairs that the BRB gives us.
Very, very nice. That's been a continuing thing.
Yes, and that's one thing we can talk about the BRB and say they're very, very supportive of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so are you, Jimmy, and so are a lot of the other people in this organization and in this city.
I love the cult. It's my really one of my favorite.
Didn't we make you one of our special members or something one year? Didn't you get some kind of an award?
Steve, I've had, I think, every award.
You haven't won the comedy award yet.
No, I haven't won the.
He's still working on the slut of the year.
You have to be a member to get that one.
Well, honey, you're a member in heart, okay?
Actually, Stephen made me an honorary member one year.
Well, very good. And, well, see, then
I won't give that up. You know, it's probably only supposed to be for one year, but
you never have to give that up.
I don't give it up.
Nope.
No. I'm very proud that I'm an honorary member of the cult, and I wear that pin proudly.
Well, I'm glad you do, and I think Regina Dane's one of our honoraries. Mm-hmm. There's a few more that the list will go on. It just escapes me right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks that have helped out the cults along the way and have been so honored. The little that we can do here at After Hours, to promote the organization. If one person hears about the cults and, you know, sends you a check, you know, it's worth it.
Right.
It's worth it.
So whatever you send goes right back out.
That's right.
Can't specifically say enough. People must think that, you know, we sit there and answer that phone. Someone's paid. Nope. It's all volunteer.
No, that's right. You know, I think the overhead comes from dues and
right. We pay our dues, and that pays for postage and
and that's probably
the printer and stuff.
Yeah, it's stuff that you have to buy that you can't steal from work, you know.
I said, it's just, you know, like I said, we're just a good group of people.
Absolutely. And the fact that the cults are the last ditch effort, you know, when everybody else has turned you down for assistance, there's always the cults.
Right, we're your means and last resort.
Yeah.
You know, we used to help put the meat and produce in the Stone Soup food pantry for a while until that got, you know, I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah, well, they're getting that from elsewhere now, so.
But like I said, you know, I mean, when I first started with the Colts and started as a pledge, and I remember doing that.
It's because you had to.
had to do. Well, I didn't have to do it.
No,
it
just, well, somebody had to do it.
And well, somebody had to do it, and my heart's always been in the community.
That's right, and nobody was doing it, so the Colts took that up, and I think somewhere along the line they were able to get funds elsewhere for that, which freed up Colt money to go to direct help for
utilities
and whatever
and rent
rent and yeah.
And another person who was very well known in our community that I really miss dearly, I always thought of him as Benjamin Franklin, the glasses and the hairdo, and I think you know who I'm talking about, mm-hmm. Lady Victoria Lust.
Oh yes,
just that yes. was one of my people. I always would remember going to a Colt meeting on a Monday night and him sitting there and at the end of the bar and it would be, honey. Yes, ma'am. What do you want? I need you to do.
Uh-huh.
So I always, you know, there's a lot of them that I miss.
LVL know. And her gin.
Yes, uh-huh. Gin at the end of the bar. And like some people say, you and she talked to you and her tongue would move. It looked like a snake.
I had several really good conversations with Lady Victoria Lust too, and I was impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed.
Well, like I said, I think the first time I did my signature number and he saw that, he came up and he said, "At least you have more balls than I thought you did." He said the last time he did that number was when he was on in Vegas, and he said, "I didn't know a fat girl could do that like me." I said, "Well, you've met one, haven't you?"
That's
she said,
right.
"Uh-huh."
That's
and
right.
It always brings the house down.
It does. It does.
I'm hoping to eventually get a... I know your counterpart, Miss Judy, wants that bikini for the archives.
You bet we do. You bet we do.
I've got somebody who found the material. Now, if I can just find a pattern, we're going to make me a new one.
Okay.
It'll be more street bar legal, I should say. Because it's not that bar legal, and you've seen it, so yes. You know what I'm talking
Woo,
about.
Honey. Yes. Well, you know, it's going to be, it's one of those things that the GCAM needs to have, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History. You just talked about Cal Moran, and we have his Mr. Prime Choice Vest, and, you know, and things like that. And we really treasure everything that we get at GCAM.
Well, of course, and, you know, there's so much history in this mm-hmm. city. You know, like I said, you know, I remember when I first came out, you know, and it was like I wouldn't come down this far. I'd only stay up around the Med Center when they had the old two bars there on Main Street.
Oh, good know. Lord, yes.
You know, I would never come down here because I was afraid I was going to get gay bashed.
Oh, my goodness.
So it scared me, but... Like I said, you know, then being out and about and then running into some of my fellow teachers at the uh-huh. BRB one night, that was really fun, too.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Do you know it's going to be my 30th high school reunion coming up in
no.
August?
No.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm taking my husband to Pearland, mind you. That's as bad as where Chris lives in Tomball.
Oh, hell, they're ready for us.
They better. But it's going to be at the Marriott Hobby Hotel, so I think I'm safe.
Okay. Okay. Well, hell, there's so many of us living out there now.
Well, like I said, we're everywhere.
We are. Yeah, there was a time that we wouldn't live there. We wouldn't live in Pasadena. We wouldn't live, you know, in so many different places. But that's all gone by the wayside.
Right.
We live everywhere now.
Well, like
I mean, they're building a gay, and they've got a lesbian bar in Webster. They're building a gay bar next door to it. So.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Galveston County, watch out.
Yes.
But like I said, you know, it's just, you know, that, you know, we're everywhere. But like I said, you know, it's just that, like I tell people when they start throwing stones or whatever, I say, I bleed the same blood. I pay the same taxes. I do everything you do except mm-hmm. I sleep with a man. You might sleep with your wife, but so it's, be it. You know,
yeah.
We'll you know, we're all human. And we're all, you know, like I always said, when people throw up that in the religion, I always say, well, God doesn't make no junk.
That's the way I look at it.
We're all put on here for something or another.
And my other comment is, oh, really? What did Jesus say about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're calling yourself a Christian, then you're following Christ. Mm-hmm. So what did he say about it? And he said...
Not a dang thing.
No, he didn't. Not a thing.
And like I say to people when it says, you know, when they start doing some other things, I say, okay, What does John 3:16 say?
What does John 3:16 say?
For God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say because you're blue, because you're black, you're striped, or you're pink. He just said, so, you know.
There you go.
But, like I said, if my president calls me on my way home, I'll know why. Like I said, I don't know if he's out of town somewhere or whatever.
Okay.
Like I said, I know, you know, I'm very happy. Oh, by the way, I will come in next week and let Mr. Robert Tichy know that handles the show next week that the LSNG group has now got a new steering committee. Me and Dan are no longer the steering committee members.
Okay.
I need to let everybody know that at Louie also, so okay, they don't come calling me saying do or ask, because I can't make those decisions no more for you.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed being there and, you know, getting our name out there. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they'll continue, and I've told them that I know that Robert would still be willing to give them radio time if they wanted it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you and Chris and Robert are very good people in this mm-hmm. community, and I will hope they'll keep their things going, because, you know, if they don't, well, you know, like I said, it was really funny the first time we did something. We stuffed the packets at the BRB for Louie, and it was like, you mean they're the nudist group in Houston? We didn't know that.
You're kidding me.
And the group is over 20 years old.
Yes. Yes. I heard about that group when I first joined the Gay Lesbian Switchboard, and that was in 1988.
Oh, my goodness. You are aging me now. Because I just had a birthday back in May, turned the lucky 49. Next year I'll be turning the big 50.
Ooh.
And I'm going to have a big party, so there'll be a lot of people that'll be invited.
Good.
One of my cohorts from NLA Houston, Master Rich, is going to let me have his house in Meyerland and pool and hot tub.
Oh, boy, that sounds like fun.
So we'll be working on my invitations probably in March and start handing them out and see how many people I can get to RSVP and come see Bubbles turn 50.
Okay, sounds good. So it's probably about time
for bring my kids in here. You might need to put on a song and let me go get Elizabeth, or maybe she's hearing this, she can get herself in here.
No, she won't. But
she won't.
But we want to play a song anyway, and Chris has had one queued up for a while that I think
I'll do it later.
Oh, okay.
Well, you could do one, and unless you want that silence, but I still want you to play the song before I leave that you were going to play.
Oh, he is.
I'm going to play now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Chris, for letting me be here.
You're very welcome.
It's our traditional little song we play for the other kind of memorials that we do. Klaus Nomi. And this is for Jesse. Ralph's Nomi with our traditional memorial song.
I particularly like his version of it. And the clapping at the end.
Yeah, we haven't played that one since Charlton Heston.
You played it for Charlton Heston, too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We broke the news. He died during our show.
Oh.
Or at least the news broke.
Or because
show.
Of it? Or?
I don't know. Quite possible.
He was listening and just had a heart attack. Poor thing. Couldn't stand it. Yeah, Charlton Heston was the one who portrayed Michelangelo and then had the nerve on many, many occasions after that to say, oh, he wasn't gay. What? You played him in a movie and you don't think he's gay. Okay. Whatever, Missy.
All right.
Denial.
Yeah.
Ain't just a river in Egypt, honey.
Tell me.
Yeah, I know. Well, I can't do that until I turn off the mics in here, so I'm turning on the mics in there. It's time for Hatch.
The mics are on. Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm not used to running this. Josh isn't here today, so...
Where is Josh, by the way?
I don't know. I don't think he had a ride up here.
They're having a lover's quarrel. Don't let her lie to you.
I see.
I don't know. Whatever. But, so...
Let's introduce ourselves.
We normally start out by introducing ourselves. So I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Val.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Brendan, one of the facilitators and volunteers for Hatch.
Yay. So we were going to start today off with just talking about Pride and everything and Hatch, you know, and the parade and everything. It's my first time at the parade, and I was really excited, and I had a total blast. It was so much fun. I actually didn't have to walk. I was so happy about that. I actually got to sit on the little convertible and ride.
And why is that? Why did you get to ride?
The prom court got to ride in the convertible, which was the king, queen, prince, and princess, and I was the king. So it was so much fun. But my sister walked, and she said it wasn't that bad of a walk, actually. She said she didn't really even notice that it was, you know, a mile or something, mile and some change.
The crowds went nuts, though.
But the big thing was that I actually didn't get just to sit. I ended up doing all of the bead organizing because everyone put the beads over their arms and they all got tangled up and nobody could get the beads off their arms to throw them, so they'd give them to me and I'd give them like four or five beads and I'd organize the beads and they'd give them back. And so I didn't really get to notice much of it, but what I did notice was like we had to stop throwing beads at a certain point because people started like rushing the car and the kids and everything, and I'm sitting here going, I'm kind of freaking out because my sister's back there, and yeah, that wasn't so much fun, but just being at the parade this year was just so much fun, and it was, you know, interesting to see the amount of people there, and the insanity, but it was awesome.
Yeah, I haven't heard the numbers, but I know in the past they've estimated 80,000-100,000 spectators.
Holy.
But it seemed like it wasn't as many people this year, though.
Although the Chronicle said 200,000.
Oh, well,
apparently they were drinking ahead of time or seeing.
Yeah, that didn't seem like there were that many people.
No.
There was enough to keep the cops busy. That was certainly.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Nobody could keep them behind the barriers.
I know.
It was just so insane.
They were just rushing the floats and everything, and it was just like, get away, please. You're crowding us.
I wasn't too particularly fond of people throwing stuff at us. I'm supposed to be throwing beads. You're not supposed to be throwing stuff at me.
You're returning the favor.
Well, as long as it's not tomatoes and
it was glitter and water guns and stuff like that, and it kind of freaked me out a little because I was, you know, kind of not looking above. I was looking at the seat, and you're trying to get everything bead organized. And I kind of pulled up, looking up over the side of the car, and all this stuff is flying at me. Going, what the hell? You know, what's going on? Freaking out a little, but it was a blast. It was a blast.
So you'll do it again?
Yes, definitely. Looking forward to doing it again. Although this year I'd like to see some of the parade. By the time we got off the float, we were supposed to have time to get back and see stuff.
Right.
But we were trying to get to the car, and I didn't get to see pretty much any of the parade.
Oh, that's too bad.
Other than the pavement when I fell. But that's...
You know, we're pretty lucky. We usually are in the top 25 participants in the parade, so... You can ditch hatch float, yeah.
The hatch float and actually get to see something.
Right.
It was kind of hard to ditch the float when you're sitting in the car.
Yes,
and they don't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Were you in the parade?
You
remember your number?
No, I think it was like 26 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is...
We were really in the beginning.
We're always in the beginning.
Litter at you. I'm not sure who was throwing. It was between was it was the street where we started throwing beads? Where we were allowed to
Dunleavy.
Dunleavy and
where the judges stand about and yell them.
Yeah, it was somewhere between there. There was some people throwing like purple glitter at the cars, and I was looking up and I'm going, "What the?
It was all done in love.
Yes. It was a little freaky for me, though, because not used to things being thrown at me, especially from people I don't know. Thank you.
At least you didn't bean people in the head with those beads. I did that a couple of times. I'm yelling, heads up, and nobody ducks. Nobody catches.
Well, we had these large bead chains, and I had one of them in my hand. I'm going, I'm not throwing this. I'm going to knock somebody out with these beads. So we ended up giving them to one of the facilitators to kind of hand out on the side, and we were throwing the small ones and stuff like that, but... Yeah, so that was fun.
Fun was had by all.
Yes.
It's always fun to see people at their first parade and participating and being involved with Hatch. You know, you get to see that.
The interesting thing was, I think half of the people in the Hatch float, and the entire prom court was their first time at the parade, first time ever at Pride. I know that the king, queen. And the prince and the princess, me being the king, of course, had never been to Pride.
I'm very proud of that.
And I was kind of freaked out, but it was awesome.
See, the audience, they don't realize you're actually wearing your crown now.
No,
you're
not.
So proud of me.
Don't pick on the girl now.
No, but the queen actually made me wear it to the festival. During the day, I'm sitting here going, it's so hot, but he's making me wear the crown.
That had been fun.
Yeah, we got stopped a lot, and you know, people were talking to us and go, you're
see, you complain, but you know you're so proud of it. You were just loving that every minute of it.
Well, I was embarrassed with the crown.
Nah.
The sash was great. I'm not too big of the crown thing. but it was
blah. Methinks she doth protest too much.
I'm going to be quiet now.
No.
Did she were you protesting to the sash because you felt like you were being tied up or tied down?
No, the sash was fine. It was the crown that I didn't like.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about prom, because last time we were on the radio, we were getting ready.
Ready for prom. We hadn't had prom yet.
Right.
Prom was awesome, other than the air conditioning wasn't working.
Yes.
But that was beyond our control, and even though it did not go off perfect, it was still an amazing event. We had a lot of people there. The dance floor was awesome. It was a great event, and... other than the heat.
Yes, for those of you who weren't there, it was about 98 degrees.
Yeah. The air conditioner and one of the elevators broke because of a leak, I guess, or something like that. So we had some air conditioning issues.
Yes.
But we had lots of cold water and soda, so... and fans. The dance floor was a little interesting because there was dancing and fanning going on at the same time. So...
It was fun. It was in our new building. It was a nice. I thought it was a nice event too.
It was a great event. It was absolutely awesome. Okay, so moving on, we were gonna talk about. So we were throwing back subjects. What did we decide on?
Let's talk a little bit about. We were talking that you were your coming out experiences.
It was so recent and everything.
I don't think you've shared it with the audience.
No, I sort of did. The first time I was on here, we talked about, like, me telling my parents everything, because it had been only about 3 months. My coming out was I decided that I wasn't going to wait any longer. I'd known for a while, and I'd kind of been waiting to tell my parents for some stupid reason. My sister already knew, and I was actually getting tired of her making fun of me behind everyone's back, because they'd say things like, oh, the guy you're going to meet, and she'd say something in the back seat, like whisper in my ear, and it would go on from there. So it became enough. I had to tell, you know, I had to get through the whole I was so nervous thing. So I took them out to dinner. It was Valentine's, because in my family, we all do the Valentine's thing for each other, because me and my sister aren't, you know, daters or whatever, and we usually don't have anybody. So I took them out to dinner, and we did the whole, I was sitting there and underneath the table, my sister's continuously kicking my leg. tell, get this over with before dinner gets here so we can actually eat. That's what the whole thing was. Dragging to the bathroom, just tell them. For the love of, you know, just tell them, get it over with. They're going to be fine with it, whatever. So I finally get up the nerve and I'm doing this whole thing and I don't even get to say it before my mom goes in the, you know, the joking fashion of all parents, either you're pregnant or you're gay. And I'm sitting here going, yes. And she kind of sat there for a moment going, what?
Now guess which one.
Exactly. So we got through the whole, you know, her sitting there shocked for a second going, you're what? My dad just going, finally. When, how long did this take? 4 years of me trying to get you to say it? But, yeah, so I told them at dinner, and we sat around and we talked for a little while, and my mom, of course, the first thing she wanted to know was if I was going to, you know, get married. She wants the wedding ceremony, because apparently it's like an addiction for mothers. They have to have the ceremony. So she wants to be involved with the whole planning of the ceremony or whatever, and she wanted to know if I was going to have kids. She wanted her grandkids and everything like that, and I told her that, you know, I always wanted kids, so it wasn't, like, something new for me. But other than that, we went through the night. It was pretty boring other than, like, the million questions. But yeah. They also... My mom's next question was the most embarrassing question any mom could ask. If I had ever had relations with another girl, and that's not something you exactly want your mom to ask. Yeah.
Well, there's an agenda behind that question. Is, well, maybe she doesn't know yet, or maybe there's a possibility there could be a mistake.
It's here. A phase they're going through.
Right. So I think that's a last ditch hope that, okay, maybe this isn't. This is just something that's temporary.
Yeah no. I dated a guy before and kind of got intimate with him, but not really, and just kind of knew. Of course, I had also been with several girls, not, you know, completely, but I dated other girls when I was a kid and had several crushes, of course. And
when she was a kid. She's still a kid.
Right. I am a kid, but I'm a teen, a young adult, not a kid as in, like, 10, 12, 13, 14, you know? Not really. I know I'm in a room full of people who are much older than, well, not much
not
older.
That much.
Not that much.
That would be me.
They're drinking legal. Much older. Let's see, that they're the other legal that comes with legal. So
the other legal.
The one where you get to gamble and drink. There you go.
Which are the two greatest occupations ever?
I'm not there yet. Still got 6 months.
Aww. Right.
Well, we'll count down the days for you.
No, thank you. I've already got it on my MySpace doing that.
Oh, God. You have
the
one of those little counters?
MySpace. I hate MySpace. I'm addicted to it. I can't stop.
She is.
I know. I'm
it's
addicted
impossible.
To it, too. But I'm taking, like, several days break. I'm like, I want to go on it, but I don't.
I can stop I'll anytime I want. Does anyone here not have a MySpace account?
there's one person
I'll
raising their hand.
Go. There's two.
Bubbles does not have a MySpace account. Are you sure? You positive?
Closest okay. I had is I used to have a High Five account, but I canceled that.
High Five account? What's that?
Yeah.
That was way back before Friendster, wasn't it?
I don't even look at Friendster.
What is Friendster?
The MySpace before MySpace. Mm.
See, I didn't actually get into MySpace other than I was forced into MySpace because my best friend in California wanted to show me pictures, but she wouldn't send me through the email or anything like that. She told me I had to get a MySpace account to look at her pictures.
It's only because she couldn't do attachments.
So I got the account and I just made the account and put a fake picture on, you know, one of those like graphic pictures.
Sunset, you know.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We think it was like a cat or something. And I left the account for like 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. You know, it was a good long while before I got on and started going around. MySpace is actually kind of interesting. What is this? How do I put the interesting pictures on? It became, I don't know, 3 or 4 days of me just sitting in front of my computer going, this is MySpace?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, holy crap, this is bad. Now I have to go on MySpace every day.
Now they have the applications, which you have to check every 10 minutes just to make sure that your friends are adding you back. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I had to buy by you, know, by you so that, you know, you're my pet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
totally.
I did that on some people. Oh, my God.
I have five pets. You still own me because nobody buys me and I'm
kind of Oh, maybe I should find you and buy you.
All right, everybody, find Elizabeth. Drive up her price so that I can buy her again. The poor girl is suffering here.
I'm not that expensive.
Need to drive up my price.
Oh, no, she sounds more pathetic than you.
I've only been bought like three times. It's very sad.
I said you didn't sound pathetic.
Oh, now I'm pathetic.
No. I like to pick on you because you blush so easily and it's adorable.
I thought I was the one who blushed adorably.
Okay, now y'all are fighting over me. There's enough of me to go around.
Oh.
Here he comes. Here he comes.
I got get
him. Right. As long as you get both. One doesn't feel
one feel left out.
Right. That happens.
Okay.
Okay, now back to the coming out story. Shall we continue down the line if
yes,
you want
next.
To?
Yes, next.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, you want mine?
Yeah, yes, well, you're next.
We were talking a little bit in the back, and, you know, I'd like to explore a little bit of what we're talking about on the patio.
Okay.
You're last.
Oh.
Let's see. I actually have several coming out stories. Two of them are rather uninteresting. My father, when I told him I was gay, he said, "At least we don't have to worry about you getting pregnant." And anyone who knows me has heard this multiple times. I think it's hilarious.
Well,
my grandma...
Every... Dad says that.
Right.
It's the first thing they think of. At least I don't have to worry about her getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm. But my grandmother, it was kind of funny because she looked at me and said, and told me about some story about how when I was 6 years old, I played tea party with my little sister and referred to myself as Johnny. Sure's a hit right there. But the most interesting one, I think, is actually about my first girlfriend. And I won't air her because she's probably listening right now. But... it was one of those, I didn't know who I was, and I was terrified, and I found her phone number completely at random, and we hit it off right away because we had known each other in elementary school, so there it was several years later, and we came out to each other, and then got caught with the emails on the school computer, and I was forbidden in the computer literacy class after that.
Oh, wow.
And her family... luckily was the most amazing people. I love them so much to this day because they allowed us to feel accepted and wanted and loved, and they accepted me as if I were one of their own. And I don't know. I think that's about it. It was just a really, really trying time in my life, and I appreciate everything that she did for me and her family as well. So I had a really good coming out story, I think, because
wow,
so many of us don't have good ones at all.
Sure, that's right.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Well, I guess now it's my turn.
You're so excited.
Well, my first one was when I came out as bi, because I was bi because I was not... I was sort of kind of in denial that I was gay, which a lot of people go through, which is surprising. And... my brother, there was a carnival at my high school, my senior year, and my brother had caught me holding hands with a guy that I was dating at the time. And he went home like a good little boy and told mommy and daddy. I was just like, oh goodness, what kind of trouble did I get myself into? And then when I got home, my mom was like, what were you doing? And then my dad got home, and my brother had told him earlier that day that, oh, my brother's having bisexual tendencies. I'm like, oh, really? And why did you tell them that? Needless to say, I wanted to hurt him, but I love him nonetheless. Actually, I'm kind of glad he forced me out, because I was not ready at that point to say anything. And then when he forced me out, my parents were like, oh, write a letter saying... what bisexuality is, knowing that's what it is, knowing that's what you are or who you are.
Wait, they assigned you an essay?
No, a letter. I had to actually write a letter to all three of them, my mom, my dad, and my older brother, to actually tell them that I understood that I'm bisexual and what it is. I was just like, okay.
So he was assigned an essay?
Yes.
Yes, basically.
You assigned three of them.
Wow.
And so I just wrote the letter, printed out three copies, handed it to three different people. They stood there and read it. They're like, okay. You know what? Then my dad asked me blatantly. He was like, you know what bisexuality is? I'm like, yes, Dad. It's where I like guys and girls. Is there something wrong with that? He's like, I don't approve of it. I still love you. And then about a year later, a year later, I was 19 at the time, my dad had gone on MySpace to look at my MySpace page. It showed that I was gay on there, and he came home all of a sudden asking all these questions about MySpace and everything when he didn't show an interest before, and I was just like, why are you showing an interest now? He's like, oh, just cuz. So I confronted him later after my mom went to bed and my brother was off doing I don't know what. I think he was in the bathroom, but that's neither here nor there. He was unavailable at that time, and I actually sat down with my dad, and I'm like, Dad, why did you ask all of a sudden about my MySpace page? He's like, well, I saw on there from one of my, because he sells Avon, and one of his customers, she was showing him her daughter's MySpace page. So he decided to type in my name, and it came up with the, you know, how it lists all the names and everything, orientation, everything next to it. He saw that mine said bi. That's a gay, not
your
bi.
Your dad sells Avon?
Yes.
And he's worried about you being gay?
Yes.
Wait, what?
There are straight men selling Avon.
Yes.
There's a few out there.
Any he's man that knows that much about the whole poor minimizing thing, yeah.
Well, I would sell Avon just to have that pink Cadillac.
But
that's Mary Kay Virgin.
That's Mary Kay. That's yes. Not Avon.
I have to step in real quick and let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Well, anyway, before the identification, my dad was, he was just worried about me because he's like, you're gay now, are you sure you know what you're doing, blah blah blah. He was really concerned, which was kind of freaky because he hadn't really been concerned before when I was just bi, because there was still a chance for him to have grandchildren.
Yeah, there was still a chance it was a phase.
Yeah, he was hoping it was probably a phase. I'm sure
phase.
It was a phase. You just phased the wrong way,
right? Oh, that's a good one.
No, I did not phase the wrong way. I phased the right way, honey.
Oh,
there's too much estrogen in this room.
Whatever, baby.
I'm having problems. I think I'm the manliest person here.
I think you probably are.
You have a problem with that?
Absolutely not.
Good.
Awesome.
If you had a problem with it, I'd check your temperature. There's something wrong with you if there is.
Yeah.
I'm just too cute to be.
I have to ask you, did they ask you to write an essay?
No.
No. They found out you were gay.
If my dad told me to write an essay, I would have been like, no, I'm not going to write an essay. If you don't believe I'm gay, then goodbye, I'm leaving.
Did they put the essays on the refrigerator?
With no.
Like your third grade math paper?
Or did they grade it? Did you get an A, B, C, or...
No, they just...
No. Your mom had the little red marker with the punctuation and grammatical errors, correct?
No, I made sure it was grammatically correct. Besides, my mom would not have been the one grading. It would have been my dad.
But this is just too good to pass up. I'm sorry. We can't help it.
You were given a project when you came out as bi. That's
what can I say?
What you should have done is they would have asked you for something when you were gay. Said, well, I'm not going to write an essay, but I can give you some references.
Oh,
that is cold.
I should have given them my boyfriend at the time, which I was also dating a girl, too, but never mind that.
So there's a little bit of bi. You're still flirting with the idea.
Back when I was in 10th grade, yes.
Yeah. That's not that's all bisexual,
when I
that's
really
all confused.
Yeah.
Confused.
Yeah, I did the whole confused thing.
All
yeah.
Bisexuals are either confused or greedy.
Or they're in denial, sweetie. They're in denial, too.
There's several opinions on the bi thing. A lot of my friends are bi, so I, you know.
Hey, they just
I
could be queer.
Them.
They could just be homosexual in denial. You never know.
Yeah, I think there is. There are certain people who identify as bi, and that's all I need to know.
Yeah, that's their thing.
My
I'll
friend
let them
in
do
California,
it.
She's bi. She's been in a relationship with a guy for 2 years, which I think she should stop. Bad relationship, but whatever. I have a big crush on her. She's a big flirt, but she had a long-term relationship with a woman, then she got married to her husband, had her son, got into another relationship with a woman, then she ended up moving out to California, and she got into this relationship with this guy, and she's been back and forth her entire life, and she, you know, she's in a relationship with a guy, and she's in a relationship with a guy. So there's a lot of those. You
so she
know.
Should stop going back and forth and be with you.
Wow. Moving on.
Okay, now I'm basically done with my story. But
next on the line. Well, have you finished? Finish.
Basically, but unless you want to know about the thing where I came out bi in high school.
Ooh.
That's when I really came out as bi. I came out bi in my senior year of high school. My brother knew for two or so years, and he didn't say anything. Because he knew, and then when I finally told him my goodbye, he's like, yeah, I knew. I'm like, why didn't you say anything? He's like, oh, I didn't feel... I was just like, do you know what? I hate you, but I love you.
It makes some things so much easier to have somebody to talk to. That's why I told my sister.
Yeah.
Because it was somebody for me in my family, in my household, to talk to on a regular basis. Yeah. I had friends that were trying to help me, you know, figure out who the hell I was or whatever.
I told my brother a year before I came out to my parents. And it was actually kind of nice to talk to my brother because even though he's straight, he could understand the perspective I was coming through to a certain extent.
Right.
Yeah, he grew up with you.
Yeah.
He knew your experiences.
There's that in-depth fear of telling your parents.
Yeah. Yes, because you're afraid of rejection.
They're the final brick in the people you have to tell. You tell everyone else and you're telling other people, but when you tell your parents, it's final.
I like to remind people of this. I've been a volunteer for Hatch off and on for 9 years now, and there are still times where a youth is afraid of being kicked out of their home because their parents will find out, or they're afraid that their college money will dry up and they won't have that available to them anymore because they're gay or lesbian. It doesn't happen as often, and that's certainly true when Hatch started. But it still does happen occasionally.
But if your parents are really your parents and they actually truly love you, they're not going to care whether you go out with guys and have relations with them or if you go out with girls and have relations with them.
We live in Texas.
Then they're going to love you nonetheless.
Yeah, that may, unfortunately, that's not necessarily true.
As much as your parents do love you, they were raised in their generation as well. And depending on the... what's the word that I'm looking for? Depending on how they were raised and how their household was and how they were taught to view society as a whole depends on what they will, how they will react to you.
Like, my dad's more accepting than my mother because she grew up in a more conservative household than my dad.
Well, so I think mine goes more extreme, but I was very lucky.
My mom doesn't really like it that much. She lives with it. She accepts it. Accepts that I have a boyfriend, which I love. And she just accepts it. She knows I have a boyfriend, she accepts that, and I'm just glad, even though she does not like it, I'm just glad that she has come to terms with it and accepted it because I'm gay. Live with it.
Yeah, but it's not always in the environment you're raised in. It's also the environment that you're used to, the people you hang out with. Like, my parents, both my parents were come from very, very religious backgrounds. My mom's dad was a pastor. My dad's family was at church every week. If you weren't there, my parents met in Bible school.
That's where mine met.
They met in Bible school. But they eventually got, you know, they moved to Houston. Mm-hmm. They changed religions and everything, and they came to be more accepting of who they wanted to be. And, you know, when you go to Bible school, you learn things about the religion. So, but they ended up, you know, being more accepting and being more open-minded and, so I was lucky to grow up in an environment that was very open-minded and very accepting, and I don't know why it took me so long. But
there's always that fear that they'll see you differently than who you've always been.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the big things. This was my mom's big roadblock, was not that I was gay or lesbian. How do you say that? Is he gay?
Homosexual.
Homosexual. There we go.
It doesn't matter how you say it.
I know. Everyone's got the word thing.
Screw what they think.
Just leave the homosexual.
Identify yourself as you care.
Yeah. Okay. I think gay doesn't necessarily mean just gay man.
Thank you. Includes lesbians.
Yeah. We're talking about that outside.
Words confuse me. So the whole word thing kind of like... What do I say? Am I saying the right word?
Say what you feel.
But anyways, it depends upon how you feel, like Val says. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's how you feel. If you identify with that word, say it. Just say it. I mean, if you identify with it, then you identify with it, and that's what you feel safe saying. If you don't identify with it, don't say it.
See, like, I don't know. I can't, like, lesbian. I've never been able to say that and be comfortable saying it.
Wow, really?
Well, yeah.
There's like an exercise. Say lesbian.
Lesbian.
Are you a lesbian?
Yes.
Are you proud to be a lesbian?
Yes.
Then why would you ever have a problem with that word?
I don't know.
That is a beautiful word.
Just like, I feel more at home identifying myself as a gay male as opposed to what some people consider a derogatory term, fag.
See, but I don't see fag as a derogatory word.
And you can call yourself a lesbian if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, no.
We'll bring you into our flock under a wing.
It helps.
It does.
I love you too, Chris.
He needs to get the fade with the blonde tips.
Oh, the blonde.
Goodness,
and
no.
The root showing.
Oh, the spike. Spike the hair.
No.
Mark, there you go. We know you're not a lesbian.
I'm a perfect example. Yeah, because so
I tried the spiking hair once. I cannot do it myself properly.
I'll teach you. It's a regimen.
So my mom's biggest roadblock was not the fact that I was lesbian, but
she wanted babies.
The fact that I didn't tell her when I started feeling confused or whatever, and that she wasn't the person I went to.
Oh,
that was probably my parents' biggest concern.
That's
also
guilt.
Yeah,
that's the motherly guilt.
It's the whole. Our family is very close, and we've always been very close, and for me not to go to her as the first person she couldn't understand, and I'm trying to explain to her very, you know, very nicely, is that when you tell your parents, it's concrete. It's there.
Yeah,
right.
It's, you know, it's happening. You can be talking to other people. You can be talking to your best friend. You can be talking, you know. But I stayed away from people who would talk to my mom. Which is actually kind of bad for me because, like, I wanted to talk to my godmom and other things like that, but I knew that they would talk to my mom.
Something
so
that most parents don't seem to understand is before you can tell them, because they are your absolute brick wall final people, you have to know who you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you aren't sure who you are and you're thinking, oh my God, is this real? Am I really thinking this? Especially with you, with no offense, but your lack of sexual experience, it's very difficult for you because you're still, I'm sure, to this day in the stage of, okay, I know who I am, but how am I?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, am I this type? Am I this type? It's sad that we have to put ourselves in these different categories, but that's the way
that's
we're taught.
Categories just limit you. I mean, they really do. Just like with gay guys, it's top or your bottom. I mean, that's so limiting.
I pitch and I catch. No.
That's limiting, too.
But see, here's the thing, though. You have 1,000 categories to choose from. You take this one, 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 throw them all together, and then you've made your own category entirely. Added something, added to the end, call it something, whatever you want, and then you're completely unique and your own person.
That's right.
Everybody's unique. I don't care what category you're in.
That isn't true. Haven't you ever seen cheerleaders? Oh. We all did go to high school, I think.
I was homeschooled.
Mine did not have cheerleaders.
Yeah, I was homeschooled, so I did not have to deal with the whole high school cheerleaders.
My high school did not
have
cheerleaders.
They freaked me out. Cheerleaders are, they're wrong.
Oh, no, they're lots of fun if you get them alone.
So
I had some
teachers.
Very good friends that were cheerleaders.
Hey, don't worry. So are some teachers if you get them alone, too.
Oh, no. Nah, that's bad.
Yeah,
we're not
going to
bad. Hello.
Hi.
So, yeah, but that was, like, the big thing I was trying to get her to understand for the longest time was that it's concrete when you tell your parents.
Sure, yeah.
Now somebody else is coming
up. All right,
now
it's your turn.
Oh, no, I'm boring. Because
now, I doubt that very seriously.
I doubt it.
Yes, you're only boring to yourself because you've told yourself the story so many times.
Okay, gosh, I don't get to share these stories very often. Well, I guess at some point, I've always known that I was gay, but I didn't let myself accept that, or I it wasn't okay intellectually for me to be gay until I was in my 20s. It's funny because for a period of time I even categorized myself as asexual. That, you know, I'm just not attracted. I'm just not a sexual person, and that's not who I am. And I found other things to channel my energy towards, especially in college and in high school. I was very involved in student politics, student government, student council, all those things. So in high school and college, I was kind of a high-profile person. I mean, people know who I was, and I was often quoted in the paper, and I was just a well-known person. And I'm dealing with this person who I am, this self-identifying as asexual, knowing that that's not true, and then knowing that I've known all my life that I'm gay, and just getting to that point where, all right, I can't live my life from this point on, or I can't live my future life not being a sexual person. It's just too big of who I am. And so my last year of college, I came out to someone who I was very attracted to. And, you know, come to find out he was also gay. And so we never actually did anything, but it was nice to have that friend. So it was actually after college where I came out as a gay man. And my parents how they found out. I wish I could say I told them. I set them down and said, I'm gay, and, you know, this is who I am. But unfortunately, I can't. There was a... some porn actually underneath my mattress.
Oh, God.
That I had accidentally left in my room, of course, and they found it. And
they were like,
oh my gosh. And I don't even know what it was doing there because I had moved out and, you know, I'd go back and stay home every once in a while. And so they asked me, they said, you know, are you gay? And I was like, well, you know, at this point, there's no reason to hide it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I'd always been private. And I guess being in high school and college and not being out to myself and slowly coming to that, I'd always kept that part of me very, very private. And so I was used to that. They were used to that, too. So, but I'm very thankful that that they did find out because, you know, my mother died a few years after that. And I cannot imagine the burden that would have been on me had she not known that I was gay before she passed away.
Right.
Because they were very loving parents, and they were very accepting. Of course, my mother went through the typical, you know, I don't want people to hurt you, you know, I want you to be happy, and I don't want people to be mean to you because you're gay. So she went through that. But there was enough time.
The whole of your life is going to be harder now that you're...
Right. And I actually, I introduced my partner to my mother, and he would come to family events for about 2 years before she did pass away. So I'm very, very thankful that they did find out. And I just wish that I had trusted me and them more and told them.
But at least they did find out. Yeah. That's
and
the important thing.
Thank God they did.
You see, it's a repressed
memory. So you leave
memory.
The porn out.
Well,
everybody, next time you have pornography, leave it on your dresser. Good rule for future life.
My mother found out before I told her because of pornography.
How many people have that story in common?
Well, that sort of kind of happened with me. My dad knew, but he didn't say anything. He wanted me to come to him because he caught me several times looking at gay porn. He walked into the room when I was looking at it, and I had to, like, I put my hands all over the screen. No, 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 it's not what you think. Da, 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 da. And then I quickly covered it with one arm or something and used the other
hand. Zipped up.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
No, I didn't have my pants unzipped or anything.
Yes.
No, my parents were still home. The study door was open. I am not going to take my pants off. I do not want my dad to walk in on me
but
doing
you
that.
Were no, looking
but he
at porn.
Did.
Yes. He's walked in on me several times since I came out when I was doing that little private alone time with myself. He walks in, doesn't even knock. He just walks in, and I'm like, I have to quickly grab a sheet or a shirt or something and put it over it.
Wait till you take a shower, because you'll never get discovered. There's even the curtain, you know, between you. If somebody walks in, they can't tell. That's worked for me for years.
That's good advice.
But back to the thing about when you said with the thing that you'd always known, I look back, ever since I came out, I've always looked back on my life, and I'm like, how could I not have known?
We all know.
Because...
Well, and you know, the point is, I mean, there were people in my school that said I was gay or thought I was gay, and yes, I was gay, but I wasn't gay yet.
Well, here's a good question. Where'd you go to school?
East Texas.
That would be why.
Small town East Texas.
What,
3,000? No, Madisonville.
Ah.
Small town.
Small town East Texas.
Yeah.
I went to high school here in Houston, Texas. Great city, but not some of the nicest people when it comes to you coming
out
all the time.
Did you just say great city?
Yeah.
Really?
Houston is a great city.
Oh, you know, we were ranked, Houston was ranked number one most livable city.
Somebody lied.
And it's also the third largest.
Don't get me wrong, I love this city.
I think it was Houston Magazine that ran.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
No,
I was born and raised here.
Time or something. They had Time Magazine had the top 10.
The radio and everything. No, I was born and raised here. I love this city. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But everyone has to admit that the entire state of Texas is 50 years behind the rest of the country.
It is.
This country is 50 years behind the rest of the world.
But there are certain places. There are certain things about Houston as a whole that is really very awesome. Unique. We have a really great arts in our city. We have this, you know, nationally ranked arts in the ballet and the symphony and the opera.
We have a lot. We're a business hub.
We are a business hub. We're the number one up and coming city of middle to, I don't know, 20s to 40s of
low cost of living.
As well as we have a lot of business young men and women, businessmen and everything.
Not to mention we have international airport.
We have two airports and. The other thing
Laredo
is
Laredo has two major airports.
Two major airports.
If they could only solve the traffic problem, we'd be set.
Yeah.
I live on I-10.
Construction.
Construction.
I-10. Thank
you. Oh, I know.
And of course, the last, you know, we have the number one, not number one, but we have, like, top-ranked museum district in the world. Because
we
have more of
that number
same.
One of, you know, smoggiest city and fattest city.
There we go. I was ignoring those two, but yeah. Houston does fall back, and of course, we have horrifying traffic starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon going till 7.
City.
I've lived at my house for 6 months now. I've lived in the same place. I get lost going home more often than not because of the construction on I-10. They change the exits. They open the lanes. They close the lanes. They put those stupid little cones.
My
friends
got lost because they were going down. It was between 10 and 59, right? Where 45 is closed between...
It depends on the day.
Anyways, they were trying to get to my house because they were picking me up and we were going out. And both of them got to a point in the freeway and there was no signs, none of the little light boards that tell you, you know, look for this car or traffic time. None of them said road closed ahead. There were no cones. There were no little flashy lights saying get over, you have to get off. It just stopped. And both of them got off the freeway and got completely lost. And I was, like, trying to guide them back. And I don't drive, so, giving people instructions on how to get to my house, not good. So it was interesting. It was very interesting.
I think somebody took, when they designed the road system in Houston, they took a handful of wet spaghetti noodles, dropped them on a table like tea leaves, like reading the tea leaves. And
I've
they
been
said,
saying that joke for I don't know how many years.
Are you serious? Somebody was drinking and doing other things
and
when they designed
the
city. I just
came up with that off the top of my head.
They were probably also like... While they were trying to write the plans, they were having sex with somebody right there.
Only you would go there. You would so take it there. This
the
is a family show.
See, I think Dallas...
Most cities...
Not to go into city planning to turn it into a city planning hour, but I think Dallas is much more convoluted.
Well, most cities actually have a plan when they decide to design a city. We didn't. Mm-hmm. But
mass transit would be a lovely idea. When I went to San Francisco like 10 years ago, I was trying to get off the bus for the first time, and it's like the door closed in front of me. I didn't know how to get the door to open up again.
Yeah.
I'm at the back entrance of the back exit of the bus, and I'm trying to get the driver's attention, and some woman said, you just push this bar here on the side and the door will open up again. It's like, I'm sorry, I come from a town with no mass transportation. But by the end of the week of being in San Francisco, I had it down packed enough that, you know, I came out of my hotel, I went a block one direction to a covered bus stop, I went half a block to an uncovered bus stop, took the bus down to several stations, got on the Harvey Milk Plaza, got on the subway, took that out to Fisherman's Wharf, then got on the cable car and went out. I finally caught on to it there. It only took about a week. Then I come back here and it's like,
45 minute wait to get on a bus.
Well, now I finally live in a place where it's about a mile to a bus stop.
Yeah.
That runs occasionally.
Yeah.
I was extremely lucky because like I said, I don't drive nor do I have a car or access to a car. So we were lucky where we live now. It's actually got a bus stop on the corner. So I only have to walk about a block to get to the bus stop. So
I have to walk one direction or the other to either Bella or Beechnut. There's a stop right there. I'm fine.
Yeah, that's good.
Except for the trolley in the middle of downtown that goes from nowhere. To nowhere.
No, it goes from UH downtown to the medical center.
See, now you would know that because obviously you've ridden this trolley, but
no, I've ridden it
There's a little plane.
That's it.
It's only exacerbating the traffic problem. I swear.
I love the train, though. I know how many people hate the train, but I love the train.
It was pointless.
No. It was in the hopes of getting the Olympics, and it was to take people from the baseball stadium to the basketball arena to the football stadium.
Once again, pointless. I'm paying a stadium tax to a place I'll never go.
Yeah. Well, you know, the stupid part was, you know, we were trying to get the 2012 Olympics, and it's like, look at our state-of-the-art facilities. Well, in 2012, that's going to be 10 years old, that's going to be 15 years old, that's going to be 12 years old. It's not state-of-the-art.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
That's very true. Let's just plan on starting to build one now, you know?
And maybe it will get done by 2012.
It might possibly be done enough.
And state-of-the-art.
Well, you know,
modern.
By 2012, maybe we'll have the soccer stadium here, the rate they're dragging.
Oh, God.
Yeah, for Dynamo. For the Dynamo team. Whatever it is.
For our national champion.
I think they're going back and forth as to who's going to pay.
And the dike is lost when it comes to the sports. Yeah.
Our soccer team was number one. Was it last year or the year before?
Back-to-back world champion.
Back-to-back world champion.
Actually, they can play
soccer.
World champions now.
And unfortunately, we are one of the only cities that can claim that played in the UH. Was it UH? Soccer
UH stadium. Yeah. The U.S. Stadium. Football stadium.
Yeah. Their football stadium.
Well, it's about
time. We didn't have our own stadium to play in.
And so very recently, well, it looked like retards when you put that little checkered ball on the field. Is it called a field?
I don't know.
Field or pitch.
It's a pitch.
Pitch.
It's a pitch.
I thought that was baseball. Wait, what?
No.
Okay, I'm the comic relief tonight, apparently.
Wow.
Believe it or not,
a dyke in the room and she doesn't know sports.
Someone this size used to be a soccer referee.
Oh. Why would I not believe that?
I'm a little on the hefty side.
Just a little.
Pretty. Some of my sides was, I was on the city league for junior tennis.
I can play
championships
and
everything.
Ping pong.
I was city league champion.
Wow, that's very cool.
It was a lot of fun, and I was awesome at it, but you wouldn't believe it now. And I can still play a mean game of tennis.
That's great.
But,
except when she breaks her wrists.
Maybe I should challenge you to a game of tennis.
I'm prone to injuries.
And her knees and her ankles and her arms.
Maybe I should challenge you to a game of tennis. I might break your arm for you, though.
Prone to injury, okay? I've spent enough time with injuries in my life.
Battle of the Sexes 2, except everyone's queer.
Oh, see, there you go, queer. Queer, that's a good overall
description. Yeah, it totally is. That's cool, except for the fact that it makes us sound like something out of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
If you'd like, I've got two versions of Rocky Horror. I'll play either one.
Okay. Don't feel bad. I owned the anniversary edition DVD with the special features and the everything else, and it's great.
I use the term queer because I get tired of the alphabet soup.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about that on the patio.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, you look at some of these things and you'll see who started an organization just by the way the letters go.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
You know, LGBT, GLBT.
Right.
Lesbians were there first.
I actually was sitting down in a conversation with my mom, and I said LGBT, and then I said GLBT. And she looked at me and go, well, didn't you just get the acronym wrong? I said, no.
No.
Wait, I might have gotten the organizations wrong.
The Gay Congress hasn't voted on the official.
But then, you know, when you get to the real militant gay lesbians, because it's LBTG at the end.
Yeah.
Hey, we don't call them militant lesbians anymore. There's a new term. It's called feminazi bulldike.
Well, at least with the gay guys, we may put the G first, but we don't put the L at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
because we like the term glipped.
That sounds like something you do in a very naughty place.
Hey, maybe we could just start saying glipped. Maybe that'll catch on as the
or is that the other one they had? Lesbigator.
That sounds like a really, really, really scary alligator. It really does.
Or a lesbian horror show.
Now, that's any time you get more than five lesbians in a room, that's a lesbian horror show.
No, the gay horror show is when you get five or more gay guys in a room.
Well, it goes without
saying. Then he's decorating.
Yeah. Decorating.
Yeah, because I was noticing that earlier today. I was watching Logo. They actually had some queer programming on it. I was amazing.
Wow.
Oh, and you were watching it?
Yeah, informative gay programming.
No way.
Yeah. documentary on Fire Island and how it came into being and all that. And you'd watch there as they would put the names and the person's name and then, you know, what they do and all that. And so every once in a while you'd see the LGBT, GLBT, you know, kind of flipping around on there on that.
The occasional, well, we forgot, it's supposed to go, wait, no, wait. No, yeah, no.
Yeah,
is it G? Is it L? Is it L? Is it G? What?
Then we start adding in all the other letters. G, L, B, T, Q, Q,
yeah, but I. The G and the L always go before the other ones, and I never got that.
Because we're the ones that are completely homosexual, and the others are others.
Well, see, I had something like that when I was with Q Patrol. We had a large influx of transgendered members at one point. And someone was asking, you know, are we going to put in our mission statement originally was saying, you know, to help the gay and lesbian community. And they wanted to know if we were going to include them. And I looked at the stuff and I go, no, because I'm going to take the gay and lesbian out. And the way I reworded it for it was actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity.
Right.
And it's a lot longer, but you can't get an acronym out of it, which is great.
Yeah, you sidestepped the whole issue.
I sidestepped the whole thing. It's that way. It's inclusive for whatever letter of the alphabet you want to use to define yourself.
Or if you change identification at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this included the guy, you know, the story of the time who was walking his little foo-foo dog down by Rich's and someone yelled faggot out the car window at him. Well, you know, as a former professional wrestler, he really didn't feel that title fit him. True story.
I love that word, though. It's such a great word.
Yes, but it's sometimes used as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, but only if the person it is directed towards accepts it as a weapon.
Here's a point. I like telling the story because Hatch was involved with it. Some Hatch youth went and approached the, I don't know if it's a Houston Independent School District area or one of those school districts, about how the term faggot and fag have been used to hurt people and how the teachers, the coaches, the counselors should be aware of that and not permit that language. Mm-hmm. And I think especially in a school setting, I think that's important because I think people will put that on other students, other kids, as a label to hurt and to harm, and to use it as hate language. And in that respect, you know, I think it's a term that shouldn't be tolerated.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's completely understandable. But if you look at it from an adult standpoint, once you're out into society, we cannot, as a people, gays as a people, cannot allow those words to be used against us. We should embrace them. We should allow them to be used. I've been called a dyke more times than I can count, and every time I turn around and say thank you.
But
thank
it fits you, so perfectly.
Right, totally. But if we allow these words power, then we allow the people who throw them as daggers that same power. Mm-hmm. And I will not allow a person to have power over me in that way. Yeah. Screw you for thinking that you can say that to me and I'm going to take it bad.
Right.
That mm-hmm. will not be allowed. And I think we need to teach the younger people younger than us that if someone says this to you, whether it's true or not, thank them for it, especially if it's true.
I like throwing out the other definition for faggot.
Cigarette.
No, a thatch of wood.
Keep going. Just,
yeah.
My grandfather used to eat faggots.
Oh.
Hmm?
Eat faggots.
What are they?
It's basically it's like a liver meatball cooked in beer or broth.
Hmm. Well, see, that just goes to show how our language has changed over the years and
how it's always been twisted.
The words that we have, the words that we have created as a people have put us into these separate categories and these cliches. And, you know, it's really unfair that we should have to identify ourselves as specific. If I wanted to call myself a faggot, I should be able to.
Well, sure, of course.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I think it's when you use it to hurt, when you use it as language art, especially those that are vulnerable, as it is in many of cases in here, growing up, elementary school even, junior high. I'm sure, I know I was called those terms. I was called a faggot at points, and it was done to hurt. It wasn't done in any other way, shape, or form.
Well, any any group, you put any group of children, and I know I'm young, but I'm not a child.
One will always be picked out.
You put a group of them together, they are going to find some way of picking on somebody. And there are adults that, then there are people who carry that on into adulthood who like to pick on other
people. Well, and then also, and when you get adults, especially overseeing the safety of children, there are times when certain hate language is acceptable, or it's okay to hate a certain group, and that group has changed over the ages. You know, whether it's Irish, whether it's African American, whether it's gay, lesbian, whatever the situation, that group has changed. There's always been a group, but
there's always somebody to pick on, somebody who's overweight, somebody who doesn't look like everyone else, somebody who's not as smart as everyone else, somebody who, there's always a group of people to pick
on. So adults who are overseeing the safety of children need to make the environment safe for
everybody.
I agree
completely.
And that's what I really loved about Hatch and Hatch's role in conveying that and getting that message across. I was very proud of this group, and particularly the youth that spoke to the coaches and the counselors and some of the teachers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's completely true. And don't get me wrong, I have been very, very hurt by the same words. But I think that it's our responsibility as responsible adult members of society to teach the younger people younger than us that it's okay.
Yeah.
Because quite often, how often have you seen in a gym class, I mean, somebody's called a faggot and the poor boy ain't even gay?
Sure, right. Yeah. That's right.
You know, and
because you can't, You yell at the N-word in school, and you're in for...
In the principal's office, you know, getting, you know, either that or they call the cops, because there was a case where a white boy called an African-American boy the N-word, and...
She stopped
me. I stopped myself. And they called the police, the African-American's family called the police on the boy and had him arrested for verbal abuse.
Here's what I'd like to see. I would like to see a young black man take offense to that N-word when another young black man calls him that.
Well, they say it to each other all the time.
But earlier you said that you accept and you don't have a problem with a label, and I
know, I'm contradicting myself. I do have a habit of doing that, but you have to understand. If I can call him, Mark, a faggot, or you, or myself, a faggot, and other people, I truly believe that anyone in the street can walk by and call me any of these things. I have no problem with that. Why is it that I cannot return the same in kind? We put too much store by words. We allow them so much power, but they're just letters put together. So why
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think a word represents a feeling, represents categorizing someone in a different way. It puts a separation between you and whoever that other group or person is.
Well, everything we do has a separation.
It does.
But the difference is if you're going to separate on an equal footing or if you're using it to separate to a lower level.
Right.
If
you're going to if you're going to use faggot, if you're going to use the N-word, if you're going to use any derogatory like Asians, the different terms for that. If you're using it to divide a community into something that they recognize, but it's an equal footing, you know. I had an Italian friend who worked there, and she always used to talk about, you know, WAP stood for without papers, is where the that came from. It's not demeaning it. It's the fact that
the original ancestors
came over without papers.
Right. Grandparents were WAPs because they did not have papers. They were in the United States, but they were not legal.
Everything we do separates ourselves into different categories.
Sure.
And I think as long as you're using these divisions or these wedges to wedge vertically.
Right.
Not vertically, horizontally, you know, as along the same plane.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's how we are. That's how we go through.
Sure. As a society, we're not going to get away from that. And there's nothing wrong inherently with that.
I hope we never do get away from that. Because if we start a chain reaction now today, and we were lucky enough to have that much influence, and 1,000 years from now, there aren't beautiful words like dyke and faggot used, even in a derogatory manner. What kind of society will there be for our children's children's children's? How boring would that be without having any tests of character? Yeah. We have to feel that pain, even though it's so hard, and I feel so bad for people that are still going through that without able to accept themselves. But if we don't have to feel that pain and have that in front of us, placed before us, then what kind of society
are we forming? See, I think that's a beautiful society. If somebody in the near future or the distant future is born as a gay man or a lesbian woman or whatever, queer, and they don't have to go through a certain amount of pain because of their sexual identity and or orientation or whatever, I think that's a beautiful world.
But what kind of people would we be without having to suffer the things that we've suffered? There are men like Merlin standing here next to
you. You know what? That's what history's for. Mm-hmm. Don't forget your history, but don't be bound to it.
But we're making
history. But don't be bound to it.
But there's also the fact
that... Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
For me, as somebody who has been called a great many names... Either because of my sexual orientation or my physical condition or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Pick anything.
pick one of the above and it
you
falls.
You know, pick one.
A, B, C, or D?
I've been called a Satanist. I've been called a fag. I've been called a cripple. You name it.
Those are some of the nicer things we can that have been
said. Those are the nice things
the ones that
said.
Can be said on the radio.
Here's the thing, though. Humankind will always find challenges in life, mm-hmm. things that build character. It's okay for the old things that built certain kinds of character to go away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because there will always be new challenges to face. They just won't have to be about who we are as a human being. What we identify as human beings. You know, I go through the argument of the using the phrase, somebody came up with the ultimate PC phrase, which drives me insane for disabled people, of differently abled.
Oh God.
And while that, yes, certainly levels the playing field because we are all, whether we live with a physical challenge or not, differently abled.
Mm-hmm.
It just drives me nuts because we have taken PC to a level that just... Ugh.
The political correctness in the United States as of right now is driving me insane.
Yeah.
The things do not need to be so politically correct. Yes, it's good to have something that's a little different, less derogatory. But dear God in heaven, what is with the political correctness?
I would certainly hope that there comes a day where... All of the words which you have been
throwing about,
loudly working on there, which and more power to you if you love to use those words and you take them back from the people who use them in hate.
Mm-hmm. If you can,
but I'm looking for a day. But I am truly looking for a day when those words, when all words that identify people in a negative way. That are seen in a negative way, that they never get used from the start.
Right.
In that negative way.
In the negative way. Because the word should never stop.
And then they will never come into existence to be used by us to identify us.
That will never happen. We really ought to start raising kids and new people in the community to learn how to deal with life.
And to learn how to
handle and process things. Because if we keep dreaming up this world that we don't have to shelter anybody, it's not going to happen. We really need to arm people for the world.
We live in a world that, you know, there are still people who have this June Cleaver, you know, idea of how things work.
Yeah.
And guess what? The universe doesn't work that way. It's 2008, and it's a whole lot uglier. Hell, it was a whole lot uglier then than they were showing.
Look at it this way. When we talk about the June Cleaver mentality people had, when they brought Leave It to Beaver back in the late 80s, early 90s,
mm-hmm.
there was a divorce, a single parent. Mm. You know, even they woke up to realize that it's not the same thing where you go down to the soda fountain and drink a soda with two straws.
Right.
And that was the closest you got to a boy and a girl getting together.
Right.
You know, and
you have to say something because you look like you.
No, it's just our people, our humankind as a kind, define everything. Everything has
and
a
that's
definition.
Not bad.
And it's not bad. There's beautiful, you know, there's words that are definitions that are good. But every word can be changed. And unfortunately, there are people out there, and we mm-hmm. cannot get rid of them, although mm-hmm. we want to, that change those words, and they turn them into words that mm-hmm. that define in a bad way. And there will always be, whether it is about us, whether it is about another, you know, religion, race, orientation, anything like that, there will always be that section of people who will make words that are...
Sure.
Bad.
When did gay come to mean stupid?
I
totally missed it.
Oh my God, that is so gay.
I am a video game player, and every time I get on with 20-some people, there is always that time when they throw out, "That is so gay, that is so..." And I'm sitting here going, what is wrong with you?
My only response is, I wish.
Yeah, well, I tell my coworkers, I challenge them, really, what do you mean by that? Are you saying that's good, or are you saying that's bad? What exactly do you mean by that?
I've said many times, I work in Tomball, Texas.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
And I've got one coworker who goes into, whenever she thinks about gay people. So definitely, I'm not out yet, but I'm dropping enough hints that sooner or later,
just hug her.
They're going to get
pick up.
And they use that phrase a lot. I had a 17-year-old coworker, you know, "That's so gay." And I go, "No, it's not. What's gay about it? Tell me." You know,
right.
And challenged them on it several times.
Mm-hmm. I do that too.
The thing is that when I've noticed that when that phrase gets tossed around, there seems to be a complete disconnect with homosexual.
Yeah.
It's like the word gay has just taken on a new meaning.
They're taking it away
and
from
also,
us.
Well,
give
but
it, back.
It wasn't ours to begin with.
It was me. It meant happy.
It meant something before it meant...
Words do not belong to people.
No. It's being passed on and inherited,
see,
apparently.
Just like back with the gay thing with it meaning happy, it did at one point
mean that.
Happy.
And then it meant something before then.
Yeah. And it still does. It still does mean happy.
But no, it was, it's really interesting. Like, my mom also plays video games. We get on with a group of, you know, 20 some odd people who range between, 16 to 50. And they will sit there and they talk, and all of a sudden, like, and I've noticed it's in a specific age range. It's between 16 and 25 is the age range of the young males mostly.
It's male and female, but it's my little sister.
See, I have never really heard it from a female.
Oh, I hear it from girls all the time.
Awesome. Yeah,
my little
I do too.
Sister was the first one I have ever heard to use it.
Wow.
And she was kind of within that age range. She still uses that word.
Yeah.
And she is turning 30 very shortly.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that was bitchy of you to say. Mentioning she's turning 30.
Oh.
Well, she said turning 30 is so gay.
Still younger than
Oh, my God, that's gay.
Yeah, that's so gay. Yeah.
But back to the thing about what Merlin said about different capable.
Yeah.
I prefer to use the term that...
Differently able.
I prefer to use the term that one of my friends that Merlin also knows, Craig, he prefers the term handy capable. Because
I
you
just
may
call
be
Merlin handy crippled. That's my thing.
Because you may be handicapped.
Just go with gay gimp.
Thank you.
Oh. As a disabled person, I use the word disabled, okay? And those little blue tags, which I'm in the near future attempting to get.
Because it makes
Ren Faire Park so much easier.
Oh, wow.
Merlin, you're going to get to do a lot of Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
Did I get a ride?
Apparently.
I don't want to park. Wait,
I'll give you a ride.
So, I'm sorry. I'm okay with the word disabled. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly prefer it to these uber PC things.
Mm-hmm.
They're terrible.
And I'm sorry. It may be a case of the people who are it get to use it, but I refer to those little blue tags as gimp tags and those little spots in the parking lot as gimp spots all the time.
Thanks, Gimpy.
My uncle is a former Marine and a Vietnam veteran, and he's disabled, and he calls them gimpy plates.
Yeah.
So he encourages me to use the word gimp or to use the word cripple because he identifies as that. And he says, when you look at a person that's in a wheelchair, do not hesitate to walk up to them and ask them because they'd rather you do that than stare.
Yeah.
I thought those were crip slips.
No, those are the little tags that hang in the window.
We're talking about like the little.
There's a difference. The gimpy plates and
Gimps, right? Crip, what?
I
Actually, I can say that because I could get one myself.
Crip slips.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was a gangbanger's underwear.
Why?
Anyhow.
No, but yeah. Oh, no, I totally got it.
It's the right color, at least. But you know, one thing with words and all that. Another part I remember is with
it would be the crypts because they are blue, the little blue tags.
The blue ones.
So that works, yeah.
So I guess the people who are just temporarily disabled would be the Bloods.
I guess.
But
so.
They now with words, I remember that one point after I came out to my father, he got upset, and I called him an alcoholic. He said, "Well, at least I'm not queer," and. He went back to his bedroom, and I started to walk out of the house, and I go, I had one of those, oh, hell no moments. And I just got through watching Queer as Folk UK.
Oh, that's the best one.
Oh, yes, it was.
Clearly. And there's a scene where the one guy's coming out and goes through and says, you know, his nephew's trying to blackmail him and all that. And so he goes, finally comes out to his family, going, I'm queer, I'm a poof, but rattle off, you know, 30-something. Queer names, and it, like I said, I saw it like a week before, so I went back into his bedroom and I go, yes, I'm queer, I'm a faggot, and walked out of the house, and it was like,
and you felt better.
Oh, I did.
Thankfully my father never once used any of the colorful colloquialisms for gay.
Did you turn on your heels and snap your fingers?
No, I did lose points, though, afterwards, after when I squealed the tires leaving.
Why would that lose you points?
You know, I was on a high, I was on a moral high ground, and the squealing of the tires and...
Gotcha.
Kind of took you off from that, didn't it?
Yeah, I was told I lost points for that.
After I came out, the only conversation on the subject me and my father had was the one where he asked me whether I was a top or a bottom. There's a conversation you never want to have with
them. Yeah, but you know they all think it.
My mother started to go down that line, but you know, she started out with a different line of questioning because she wanted to make sure I tried out all the options first. Oh.
There was never a question
with me. I just started giving her an honest answer for every question. She never made it to the top or bottom question because she realized if she asked me the question, she was going to get an answer.
My mother never asked that, but you know, the fact that I've got two brothers, and you know, she somewhat knows my father, and knows stuff about heredity and genetics and all that. She doesn't have to answer that ask that question.
She knows you take after the girly side.
I got lucky. Who wears the pants in your relationship? Guess I'll give you two chances, and the first one don't count. She does. Every time.
Well,
anyway. And Kate Clinton has right? this really hilarious line of like hats and shirts and things that all say lazy top.
Well, I think we've ran out of steam. We're starting to run out of steam now, aren't we?
Something like that. Music,
please. Yeah,
I think we're running out of caffeine, actually.
Yeah, that coffee's not lasting long enough.
The hatch. We probably need to tell people how they can get in touch with Hatch.
Yeah, I don't have any of that.
Let me see if I have it in my
site. What's the website?
It's www.hatch.org, right?
Hatch, okay, I'm going to give
out.
Hatch
Youth,
isn't hatch, it? Yeah. It's Hatch Youth. You can just type in Hatch
.org.
And Google
it. Go to Google and type in Hatch. It immediately takes you there.
Oh, Lord, I have a number on my cell phone, but I don't know how old it is.
For the Hatch?
Yeah, for Hatch.
We're currently searching in our cell phones. Yeah.
Okay, I'll have
somebody
to,
come
I'll
up with
I'll
have
to blink off of the faggot page we pulled up here.
Oh, well.
You can go to Wikipedia and type in faggot. And it tells you all about the food that I was talking about.
No kidding. Oh,
wow. And it has a link to the recipe. So, yes, Pat Robertson, we can make faggots.
All right.
Yeah.
You don't want to after you read the recipe. I may go vegetarian after this.
Is the 529 number like old?
I think that's current.
Is
Let's
that,
go with that.
Did they move the number?
I think it. Okay, this is the number I have. 713-529-3590.
That's the number I have. Okay. Yeah, you call, and if nobody answers the phone, leave a message, and they'll call you back, and it's... Well, how does it come up? It comes up so that like your parents or whatever won't know what it is.
It's a private number.
A private
and
number.
If you are 25 or older and want to volunteer, please, anybody, welcome, call them up. send them a message and
that's
everything
right.
else.
Yeah, that's right.
No,
and
we do. I'm
we
waiting.
Do, we do references and background checks on all our volunteers.
Thank God.
And the, also, the GLBT hotline number is 713-529-3211, and everyone should have that in their cell phone because you never know when you need it.
See, I don't.
I'm going to have to get that from you.
I'm going to have to get that number,
thank
too.
You. It's interesting.
Yeah, I have it in my wallet, but that doesn't mean anything.
If you're ever a victim of a hate crime or there's any violence against you, this is a number you can call. And if you are a victim of a hate crime, they will have a representative come out with you as you give your story to the police and you go through that process.
I That's love awesome. This one feature you have on your website, Quick Exit.
You never know.
Yeah,
what
that
is great.
I just looked at it and go,
are you at our website right now?
Yeah. I clicked over to make sure we got the phone number right. And it's like, you know, so if you're at home and, you know, like Mark, you know, who was on a website where you could quickly click one button right. and go to. Usually I only see them on the dirty websites. that, you know, there's a quick exit so that if mommy comes up behind you.
Yeah, there's a
does
little
pull
button.
Up algebra papers?
Yeah, right.
It takes you right to Google.
It takes you automatically back
you
to
go.
A main website. But, yeah, like, come out to visit Hatch. I mean, a lot, like, I was, when I first heard about it, I actually didn't go for 3 or 4 months. Because I was too scared.
Yeah.
No. But
it's all confidential.
Yeah, it's all confidential. They, you know, they've got this really great place. We hang out. Right now, it's a little boring, but we just got, like, all of our grants put through, or some of them
yeah.
put through, so
yeah.
we're going to have a TV and everything.
Right.
And
oh, and if anyone has a TV out there they'd like to donate to Hatch or any furniture,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, please get in touch with us.
Yeah, totally.
But we hang out. It's just, it's all, it's a group of these teenagers. We just hang out. We talk. We have people come in who talk to us about different things. We had a comedian come in. We did a comedy night teaching us how to do, you know, comedy skit and everything. And then we had somebody come in and talk to us about HIV and AIDS and everything. And it changes off. We have informative nights. We have movie nights. And we have game nights. And we have the nights where we actually
right.
learn something about being safe.
Yeah, with the organizations that we have nowadays, there's absolutely no reason to go it alone. So
right.
that's totally... awesome.
I do want to, someone mentioned earlier that, you know, some things will never change and, you know, the gay people or whatever, the implication was that the gay people or gay youth or at some point will always have to go through and suffer or have issues they have to go through. But I did want to point something out, and I've been doing Hatch for about 9 years now, and when I first started, the gay straight alliances in the high schools were not prevalent.
Yeah.
And the high schools weren't allowing same-sex couples to go to prom, mm-hmm. which they're now doing.
There are a few that still have issues.
Sure,
yeah.
sure. But
they have dress codes.
Sure.
They have dress codes.
Yeah.
They cannot go in a tux.
That's true. That's true. But more and more are accepting of same-sex mm-hmm. couples going to mainstream high school proms. And it's becoming less of an issue. And just in that period of time mm-hmm. in the high schools, things have significantly changed.
Yes.
And I think that's an exciting thing.
I remember the first time I went to Hatch as a guest speaker, and just seeing the out youth going, I wish I could have been that out
right.
mm-hmm.
at that time. And, you know, someone said, you know, some of these kids, this is the only time they're out
right.
is yep. when they're there.
That's right.
But still, that's an empowering thing to be able to have that
mm-hmm.
hour or two, you know,
of being
able to let your guard down,
right? Or even experiment with who you want to be.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Maybe you don't know who that is yet.
Well,
and that's okay.
I certainly hope that one day, as soon as possible, that there will not be any lines or demarcations between, you know. But I do prepare for the worst, and I do want people that are a little bit younger than me to know that this may not happen in your lifetime.
Sure, of course.
Mm-hmm. So be prepared.
Right.
Be forewarned.
Right.
Because that is forearmed, of course. And don't take these words in a derogatory way, because you're taking away the person's power behind yeah. it. So hopefully let's all wait and see yeah. what happens and sit back and enjoy the ride as we go.
Yeah,
yeah, I was actually the advisors and everyone when we were
always.
Getting ready to do the Pride Walk were all talking to us about how proud they were, and you know that we're going to get a lot of clapping as we enter the Montrose, where the Westheimer and Montrose is, and there's going to be an uproar. And I couldn't really understand. And she came to us, and Deb came to us and said, "It's because you are the youth who are out just, you know, barely out, and you're being proud of who you are, and you're walking and everything. And a lot of the people who are in the crowds weren't as out or as proud at your age as you are.
Right. There's some of those in the crowd who could maybe 40s or 50 year old now and still aren't out.
That's right.
Right, and you're, you know, you're the kids, you're the young of the...
The hope for the future.
Right.
That's right.
So I thought that was really awesome. Like, I didn't really understand it before, but like when they, you know, explained it, everything was really cool.
Yeah, when you get into that gauntlet area, when you make that curve at Westheimer, and the crowd really gets thick.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're there at the lesbian triangle. And then you move over to there. That's where you really get the feeling of it. Mm-hmm. That's where you really see the mass of humanity.
Mm-hmm. And they're all so beautiful. They are amazingly beautiful.
And they all love Hatch.
Right? Well, I saw this old woman. I mean, not just a little bit old. She had to have been about 70. And she was fully decked out in rainbows. And she was smiling so big with tears pouring down her face. Mm. And I could imagine what she was thinking at that moment. She made me cry herself. Mm. So, of course, I walked over to her and I gave her a kiss and I thanked her. I thanked her for paving the way for us. It was so amazing.
I mean, I can't imagine going through what you guys went through. I mean, I'm only a few years younger. I'm about a generation younger. But my experience in coming out, my experience in the fact that TV shows are now. Mm-hmm. I mean, popular TV shows like Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
At the season finale, they had a big lesbian kiss scene. I mean, popular TV shows are making it more normal. Uh-huh. Schools are making it more normal.
Radio?
DSAs are everywhere. Radio is making it more. It's not the, oh my God, those two girls are holding hands, you know,
right.
thing.
Yeah,
so we have to remember to teach the next group of kids that comes through. We have to teach them and embrace them and show them and be their role models.
There were hardships for the, you know, there are still things that kids go through these days. And I'm lucky to have parents that are amazing and who completely accept me for who I am, and
right.
But there are other kids obviously who do not have that, and
sure.
We all have those hardships. We don't have as many as as you guys did.
You ever met a gay Mormon? I have.
I have too. I know a gay Mormon.
It's terrifying.
It's
they do exist.
Yes, they're scary though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just give them a rum and Coke, you know. That takes care of two of the things they're not allowed to have as well. No alcohol, no caffeine.
There you go.
You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Wow, you
congrats.
I love that. That's so hot.
You do that so fast.
You do.
Awesome.
And
beautiful.
Two is on one breath.
Now, right now, I'm having a little trouble breathing, so it's not on one breath. Oh. Sometimes I do that even...
Are you an auctioneer? Do you do, like, the fast talk? Because that's awesome.
I'm one of these annoying people who practice these sorts of things.
In front of the mirror, like The Sims?
Well, I've got a 30-minute drive to the Montrose, so I've got plenty of time to go through. And we had a one-month hiatus recently. And when it came time to do the first station ID back, it's like, I don't remember it.
Oh, no.
It took about 30 seconds for my brain to click in going, okay, this is what you're supposed to say.
Ah.
So it's one of those things that sometimes we don't have a chance to get it in when we're supposed to. So I do have to remember it fast to get, you know.
But I want all the listeners to understand, that's not a recording. He does that every time.
The only time I usually play the recording is because when we do our Black on Black segment, the host loves the one voice that's on there.
Mm.
So I just love to tease him with that. You're listening to KP. And he's like, I got to find out who that guy is.
Well, but that's awesome. Like, I always thought that was like a recording or something. I've never actually been in here when you did it. I'm going, that's not a recording. He's actually doing that that fast.
If only we could find a woman with a tongue like that.
Oh, yeah.
Don't look at me. I go for turf, no surf.
Thank God. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm out, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. We know you're out. You were out at the beginning of the show.
Thank God for that one, too, yeah. But no, I'm out the door, so thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thank you.
It was a blast.
Thank you all for being here.
She's my ride, so I'm going to go.
My ears are sweating.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
I beg your pardon.
What, you're not going to be here for a round table?
What is this about?
No, I don't think...
What?
No, I'm not going to go there.
They're vacating.
All right. I'm going to play a little music. We play them occasionally.
Yes.
There is a movie out about the making of this CD.
What?
It is available on Showtime.
I've heard about this.
It's called, it's a story about Jason and DeMarco.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called We're All Angels. And it's, you actually see them at the photo shoot taking the pictures for what you see in here.
Oh.
And it's basically the year up to getting this CD out.
Mm-hmm.
And what they went through to get it going from a Christian pop duo to try and become more of a pop duo.
Right.
And it's interesting seeing them talk about themselves, their relationship, because they're not only just a musical couple, they're a couple in real life.
Yes.
They are, at least at the time of the the movie, had filed for a domestic partnership in California.
As far as I know, they're still together.
Yeah, and it's an interesting movie, and you meet their parents and talk about them coming out, you mm-hmm. know, the whole story of them getting together.
That must have been tough in very Christian households.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see that, but, you know, it gets to a point when you're watching this movie where you can kind of see why the Christian community really didn't embrace them. Because I don't think I've ever heard a Christian artist use the term mangina before.
Oh, my God.
Now, the thing that surprised me is they're a lot older than I thought. They're in their 30s.
That's surprising. Because they look very young.
And there are a couple shirtless scenes in there.
Mm.
So this is from their new CD, Jason DeMarco, Till the End of Time. Part of it was done here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to see what the name of the guy
the studio,
here
or
in
is
Houston.
It the guy?
Yeah, Alan something or other. Cute little cubby guy.
Mm.
Alan Lett, who is here in Houston. And they talk about him being an out artist. And another part about it is, you know, the first scene in the movie is at Resurrection MCC.
No kidding.
So let's go to Jason and DeMarco, and this is Falling. And you're listening to After Hours coming up. It's Roundtable, and it's this one.
Falling, falling, hoping somebody's there.
Marco.
That my favorite song off of that CD called With Falling. Yes.
There was a lot of cute little scenes in that movie. I don't know if it was a gay cruise or not they were working on.
I'm sure.
They took their parents.
Oh. That's a mistake.
Talk about cock blocking.
That is really a mistake. Okay.
But then, once again, like I said, if you watch it off you...
What's the name of it?
It's called We're All Angels.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Showtime.
Oh, okay. That's why I haven't seen it.
You can just, program your TiVo or DVR and find it. Like I said, it's an interesting little movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Isn't that why your hand hurt?
It was a nice tray, I swear.
Yeah,
tray one, right?
Yeah. If you're going to edge for 12 hours, use some lube, okay? Safety note.
How cold
that friction
that
burn is hell.
The voice of experience speaks.
Michael has a
bandage
around his hand.
Yep, there goes half his sex life.
It's very Bride of Frankenstein. It's fabulous.
Yeah, it is.
I have many orifices that can be filled.
I bet you do.
That is partially an offer.
And if we get our ass kicked off for that and nothing happens to Hot and Bothered, I'm pissed.
You said that was partially
an offer? Do you have any
an offer to
orifices that have never been filled?
left nostril.
Well, I guess
probably
I'm going home
not.
With Mikey tonight, y'all.
Why, was he shooting off to the right?
So to speak.
It's time for Roundtable.
Yay.
And none too soon.
I have got to start off with this one. Go to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Why do I want to go to Cheese
Land?
Right.
Let's go to Wisconsin.
I saw this. This is one of these weird stories that I actually saw the first part of it on Squirt.
Okay.
it links you to a good site afterwards. From 365gay.com, Wisconsin gay couples could face jail for getting married.
Yes.
In California.
What?
Same-sex couples in Wisconsin who go to California to marry could find themselves facing criminal charges when they return home.
Why is that?
A little-known Wisconsin law makes it a criminal offense to enter into a marriage outside of the state if the marriage were illegal in Wisconsin.
Oh, my God.
A misdemeanor.
The law was passed decades ago to prevent underage couples from crossing the state lines to marry.
Oh.
A misdemeanor.
And it can be used again. That ain't no misdemeanor, I don't think. The penalty is a fine of up to $10,000, 9 months in prison, or both.
Yeah, that ain't no misdemeanor.
That doesn't sound like a misdemeanor.
That's more a misdemeanor I get.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they allow conjugal visits.
No!
The problem is, until they outlaw it...
It is. Wisconsin law limits marriage to opposite-sex couples.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's been outlawed already.
Yeah. The law was on the books originally saying if it's illegal in Wisconsin to get married, then you know, that was to prevent, you know, the 15-year-old from going across the state line to get married.
Mm-hmm. Right. And gay marriage is outlawed in Wisconsin. Yeah. So it turns into Mikey's favorite evening, a two-pronged attack.
I cannot disagree.
Circle gets the square.
Where'd the fork go? Wait a minute. Where did the fork go?
Never mind.
In 2006, Wisconsin voters approved a constitutional amendment limiting marriage to opposite-sex couples. So here is the weird twist of what's possibly going to happen. You've got Wisconsin going to be possibly the next state to take on gay marriage because, it's the GLBT civil rights groups that said, hey, you know, be careful about this. Don't go, you know, if you go off, you can get married, you can get arrested. I don't think that was really a warning to the gay couples. That was the glove being thrown down to the state saying, remember this law on your books?
Fix it.
No, it's saying, remember it, because we want you to actually arrest someone.
Ah, so we can challenge it.
So they can be challenged, and then this will go forward in the court system, because then what's going to happen is what trumps what's more important, the state constitutional amendment that says, you know, opposite-sex marriage, or the full faith and credit clause of the United States Constitution.
Yeah. We still have the Constitution?
Those powers not expressly granted by the federal Constitution are granted to the states.
And yes, we still have parts of the Constitution.
Yeah, well, you know, by the time it gets through the court case, you know, hopefully whichever
given that candidate civil contracts like marriage are handled by on a state-by-state thing, I really think the Supreme Court probably wouldn't hear it.
But the full faith and credit clause says if a contract is binding in one state, it has to be recognized in another state.
Right, but then there's the Defense of Marriage Act.
But that's not a constitutional. That's not a constitutional amendment yet.
Yet.
Yeah. DOMA hasn't made it to the amendment stage yet. But.
Yes.
Oh, I was trying to figure out who. I recognize someone was behind me. I was trying to figure out who it was.
I still like Kate Clinton's thing the best. She's like, we don't need an amendment to the Constitution. A simple post-it will do.
Well, just something.
Because it would work.
Well, I mean, they're using enough liquid paper on the Constitution the past 7 years, so.
That's just the Patriot Act. It's kind of like, you know, a neat cover that goes over the Constitution.
But, like I said, it's interesting. See where that is going to be coming next year. I mean, think about it. You know, we get gay rights come out of Texas, a couple do it in Pasadena, and then, you know, the next step is going to be our next step in our evolution of national recognition of gay marriage could be Wisconsin.
That's funny.
Well, actually, Wisconsin is a very forward state. They decriminalized homosexuality years and years and years ago.
But we're talking Wisconsin.
I know.
Jeez.
I know. But, you know, when you get out of the rural areas, the cities are quite progressive.
The city.
This is the state.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there more than one?
Wisconsin. Yes. This is the state upon which was the basis for Happy Days in Laverne and Shirley. Okay. Happy Days.
You got a problem really with that, Squiggy?
I never really liked that second one.
You
do. There.
What?
I never really liked the second one there.
What?
Laverne and Shirley.
Hmm.
Go figure on that one out.
You Wait, sure you're gay? Are you sure you're gay?
Like turn around and stroke Boo Boo Kitty.
But that is going to be an interesting detail. Is what you were saying about the fight of which trumps which as far as that? Whether Constitution and which Constitution trip, you know, trumps what?
Yeah, that's going to be the like I said. It's going to be one of those interesting things of where it's going to finally get to the argument and, you know, what level court's going to decide that. And what's the other marriage news we had?
Oh, it was...
the Virginia. Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia.
Virginia, which...
which is for lovers, by the way.
They celebrated an interesting wedding. A couple attained a state marriage license and had a ceremony before authorities realized that both were biological men.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
Antonio Blunt and Justin McCain faced misdemeanor false information charges, punishable by a fine of up to $250. Authorities said the couple applied for a license in Newport News Circuit Court.
The more a misdemeanor I get.
And passed off McCain as Justine.
Oh.
Officials later realized that McCain was actually born a man.
How did they find that out?
They peeked.
There wasn't any peeking.
Peekaboo.
Court clerk sought an investigation because same-sex marriage is illegal. The case turned on whether the pair knowingly committed a fraud, something prosecutors couldn't determine. We don't have the ability to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there was an intent to deceive. The Virginia law does not clearly define bride and groom, which at the time were the only spaces on the marriage license the couple filled out. The forms have since been changed to specify male applicant and female applicant.
Ooh.
Now that the forms have been changed, it is a crime, and if someone should do that again, they will be prosecuted.
You mean persecuted?
That's the difference.
Yeah, when they applied to wed in March, McCain produced a Virginia driver's license, but officials overlooked the gender, which is denoted by an F or an M centered against a darkened state seal.
Well.
Some reports said you couldn't see the letter clearly. When they returned in court to have his name changed...
Because an F looks so much like an M.
I know, right?
Yeah. When McCain returned to court in May to have his name changed to Penelopeski Arandia Goldberry.
Say that five times real fast.
Goldberry. A surprised officials checked paperwork and verified with North Carolina authorities that McCain was born a male.
Hmm.
It is unclear whether McCain has had a sex change operation, though activists have speculated McCain might be a transgender individual whose appearance could be explained by hormones.
Or he's just really Nelly.
Who's boning?
Girl,
well,
what did you say?
A horse.
Okay, one other part about it is the fact that Justin / Justine is 18. So...
Well, you know, with proper hormone treatment, even before the age of 18, it really kind of blurs the lines.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, the old fart who was marrying was 31.
Oh, getting some of that young stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like chicken tonight.
Well, what's some young stuff? What are y'all talking about?
Hedwig.
Yeah. I was thinking that, too.
And the angry inch.
Yes.
I just recently saw it again.
Do we want to spin the wheel and see where we're going to go next?
No.
Well, we talk about marriage.
Especially if you're the one doing the spinning.
Well, Mikey, do you need help?
Let's go to, we were talking about marriage. So, of course, you know, marriage is only for procreation. So let's go to the procreation story. There we go. Transgendered man gives birth to a baby girl.
Ta-da.
For the first time in history.
Thomas Beatty, who was born a woman, but after a combination of surgery and hormones, lives as a man, has given birth to a girl in Oregon.
And that is a fabulous picture of this pregnant person with a beard.
Yes.
But the question is, are they legally married?
I've got to wonder
married?
What that does to the pregnancy.
I don't know if he was married or... Yeah. Well, no,
I want to see just how screwed up the little girl gets when she grows up.
Well, there's not much breast here. That, well,
well,
there's
her
been
hair
a
probably never going to naturally grow longer than a buzz cut.
Although Mr. Beatty has been legally defined as a man since the age of 24, which was 10 years ago, he kept his female reproductive organs. Through artificial insemination using donor sperm and his own eggs, he gave birth on Sunday. The only thing different about me is I can't breastfeed my baby, but a lot of mothers don't. This is because he had his breast surgically removed. His wife of 5 years is unable to conceive, and that prompted Mr. Beatty to suspend his hormone treatment and resume menstruating 2 years ago. I actually opted not to do anything in my reproductive organs because I wanted to have a child one day. I see pregnancy as a process that, that doesn't define who I am. Now, of course, you know, all of the...
That's kind of a life-changing event, though.
It is.
One would think.
Changing it back and forth a little bit, you know.
As a nurse, I've got to ask a few questions here, but I can't ask them because the person in question isn't inside this room.
Yeah. Well, apparently, you know, he had the top half surgery, not the bottom half.
Right.
And basically, that was all that was done was hormones and the radical mastectomy.
Right.
Because of the well-known picture of the mother slash father, you know, features almost like a Demi Moore picture from Vanity Fair. You know, that sort of thing where it's the shot is just above the bottom of the belly.
From what I've seen of that picture, it bears a striking resemblance to one of my favorite porn stars.
I know. He is really hot looking.
Which one would that be?
Corey Coons.
Never mind. I understand completely.
You know from what I'm speaking. Half Hispanic, half Asian. That's all
The twisted part is, you know, I think from all of us here in the room seeing the picture of him, I think we finally found a MILF.
That's the one MILF I'm not going to be with.
Oh, my.
It looks photoshopped.
It does.
It does. Yeah, you're right.
It just doesn't look real.
But because we're not used to seeing a pregnant person with facial hair.
And the way the stomach just... All right, I'm going to be mean about this. Jimmy, stand up. Face me. Now pick up your shirt. See the way his belly sticks out?
Just like that.
No, but it's very different.
I know.
It's very...
It's different. A little more round.
About 30 years.
You know. You know, if it wasn't for the beard part, you know, I mean, there's the underarm hair and a little bit of a mustache. You know, it...
I know.
Could be Central European.
Are you saying Russian?
I was going to actually say Italian, but I didn't want to be that mean and say a specific country.
I believe this.
Okay.
I've seen you, but I've never known you not to be me.
So, congratulations on the... How the hell is only one comment on that story?
Mom! Dad! Which do I call you this week?
The parent.
The weird thing to me is
that
I
sounds
have
like a
two
bad horror movie.
The friends who one just gave birth, one is still pregnant at the moment. And it's just really creepy looking at that picture because I've seen both of their bellies, you know, their chest has increased in size significantly. And just everything about it that makes it go, you know,
because that's what you're used to seeing.
Yeah.
When you
but
see
he still kind of has that glow.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what's really creepy, is it's a guy that has the pregnant glow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that there's anything
wrong with it. I think there's something kind of cool about the whole thing.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. You know, I'm glad that they're able to have a child that's, you know, theirs. And if I, with my partners, could have a child that was ours, that'd be great. And I'd be so happy about that. But it's just so weird.
Seeing the picture is a
little... Because we just automatically, when we see a person with facial hair, we think male, period.
Yes.
We don't... That's what makes F to M's kind of easier. It's easier for them to live in society because all they have to do is grow facial hair and they're accepted.
And the last time we saw a pregnant man, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let's face it. This is the... And true definition of transgender.
Absolutely.
You're crossing and breaking the gender lines.
Yeah.
You have someone
this
who's been living as a man for 10 years giving birth.
That's awesome.
And especially when you consider that the way that birth is assigned, your gender is assigned at birth in the United States is basically spread open the legs, and if you count to one, it's a boy. If you don't count to one, it's a girl.
That's a good way of doing it.
What if you can't count?
Then you're screwed.
Well, you know, sometimes sometimes it's 1.5. Sometimes it may be 0.
Yeah.
Or less than 0.
Hey, that was a really cool book.
Less than 0?
But now,
yes, by the same guy who wrote American Psycho. Hmm?
But now...
Leave my family out of this.
But this is, I mean, this is something that, you know, of course, you know, all the conservatives got bees in their bonnet. And how can you let this happen? Well, you know.
It did. Live with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we don't live in the world of George Orwell or Aldous Huxley.
We live in the world of George Orwell nowadays.
Right?
When you get those hyper-Christian folks that would look at something like that and go, how can this happen? You just tell them anything is possible in God's universe. Hey,
and guess what?
And watch
he got pregnant
fry.
The same way that Mary Cheney did. It was a turkey-baster relationship.
Uh-huh.
It was artificial insemination. Someone else provided it.
There
if
you go.
If it's good enough for the vice president's daughter, it should be good enough for anyone.
It was some a frozen pop pudding.
Some part of
or
this
something like that.
I see going back to that earlier conversation about people being taught about how things are as opposed to the, you know, the... perfect cookie cutter.
Don't look at me. Talk to the mic.
You know, the perfect cookie cutter idea of what things should be. I mean, this is us saying, this is how the world is.
Yeah,
teach your kids how the world is. Not, you know.
Do you live in America?
Do you live in America?
Yes.
Then why are these words coming out of your mouth?
We
watch reality TV, not reality.
Because I'm an optimist by nature.
I didn't think we grew those here in the United States.
Because that at some point somebody's going to get it right.
There's an exception to every rule.
I mean,
that's true.
Oh, don't show me that.
It's like a little small cut that he has. And he makes it seem like it's something bigger.
Yeah,
than it
I
is.
Still don't need to see that. That's
does the term drama queen mean anything to you?
You know.
It means
this is
Mikey.
This is Mikey we're talking about here. It looks like a small cut.
Serious. Could you not find a sling to put your arm in?
And it's wrapped around. And
no, he uses a sling for his ass.
Who told you about that?
He said his
you
butt.
Did.
He's had his butt in a sling before.
We've seen the internet.
No, I have not. I'd love to, but I haven't.
We all have internet.
Not that kind of sling,
it's just
honey.
Written all over your face, Mikey.
A lot of things. Written or ridden?
Yes.
Oh. A little bit of both.
Okay.
D, all
let's
the above.
All right, let's go to Mickey D story.
All right, kids. Mickey. McDonald's.
Mickey D. There's a Mickey D story.
Speaking of something that's 100% real.
Supposedly 100%.
No. They actually admit that their hamburger patties are only 40% beef.
That's right. The American...
Don't go online and read it. I can't
guys,
memorize
guys,
it.
The American Family Association has called on consumers to boycott McDonald's after the company said it will continue to support gay staff. McDonald's VP of Communications joined the board of directors of the National Gay Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. The anti-gay AFA claims that the multinational restaurant chain is, quote, refusing to remain neutral in the culture wars. McDonald's has chosen to give the full weight of their corporation to promoting the homosexual agenda, including homosexual marriage.
Oh, my God. Whatever.
Excuse me, but I think I want to go to work for McDonald's right now so that I can boycott the AFA.
I'm just wondering if anybody else is noticing that we're talking about McDonald's supporting its gay staff through the culture wars. And I'm wondering if anybody else is happy that we now have homosexual microbes.
Hot dog. Oh, no, that's culture. The other food, isn't
culture.
It?
Culture. They're not talking about that kind of culture. Although, if you go to McDonald's kitchen, you never know.
That's true.
I was kissed by two cute McDonald's employees recently.
Have you checked for staff?
The AFA cite the company's support for last year's Pride Parade in San Francisco. Well, the call for a boycott appears to have been sparked by a letter from McDonald's, which bluntly states their stance on the issues. Our founder, Ray Kroc, once said, "None of us are as good as all of us."
That's a Kroc.
I think there's an extra letter in there.
This is a core value of McDonald's. We treat our employees and our customers with respect and dignity, regardless of ethnicity, religious beliefs, sexual orientation, or other factors.
Now, again, this is coming from the group that, you know, kind of screwed over vegetarians and the Hindus, thereby saying, hey, we're no longer going to fry our stuff in beef fat, but we're going to make our french fries out of beef fat. You know, earlier this week, it was revealed that the American Family Association organized a campaign against the advert that was shown only in the United Kingdom. That was the famous Heinz mayonnaise commercial where two men were kissing.
Oh, my goodness.
That's still not as
That's
good
just
as
really
Snickers
hot
commercial.
In a mayonnaise commercial, because they have to wipe the corner of their mouth.
The group targeted IKEA last year for showing gay families in their ads, and has led boycotts of Ford and Disney because of their commitment to equality.
Have you seen, like, the number of gay people versus the number of straight people in IKEA before? I don't know why they bother advertising to heterosexuals.
This is very true.
Yeah. Okay. Do I look like the kind of person who can work with either wicker or furniture you build yourself?
No. That's what lesbians are for, honey.
No, I mean my weight on something you assemble yourself. No.
They weren't targeting you, though you would be an easy target.
We don't get
All right, enough about the Swedish meatballs there.
It's like hitting the broad side
of
a barn.
I mean, if his pants get any lower, we will see meatballs.
No,
last year,
well, Mikey, come on, let me help you. Come on.
Oh, in the name of God, please, no, don't go there.
Virgin.
Why?
Virgin, he doesn't want to need a tetanus shot.
We're trying to run a show here.
Besides, that creates an image even I don't want to see.
I didn't do anything wrong.
I think we've done this. Well, you sure as hell didn't do anything right. Yeah, I think we've done McDonald's to death.
No, but he's talking about playing with me. All right.
Yeah.
I can read with you on that one, Robert. We want to go serious here. What do we want to do?
Oh, I can get used to this.
I don't know. Seriously, it's going to work right now.
Okay.
I got an idea. Why don't we take a step out for a moment? Give me that up. Give me that brown envelope, please.
The brown.
Uh-oh.
The brown
envelope.
The envelope,
brown
please.
The envelope.
Often the envelope.
How now, brown cow?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about
fat
bulls.
Joke.
No, it's the bull that got too close to the hole.
I'll be damned if I'm going to show them anymore. They're not going to see this picture.
What picture?
I want to see.
We're going to play some new music here.
I want to see a picture.
No. Even bad.
Show me.
This artist.
The stud.
Houston Bernard.
This song I'm going to play was voted number two video of the year for 2007 on MTV Logo.
Hot dog.
And, you know, I checked on her. I believe he's actually gay. So, you know, making the list on Logo.
Houston Bernard is bisexual.
All right. Bye.
Whoa.
Close enough.
Didn't somebody say something about a 12-inch Italian?
He's not.
Where? Where?
He's taller than that. He's taller than that.
Standing up or lying down?
They were at Subway.
What the hell CD did it? Cycle?
I don't know.
You did what with who?
Either way, it's all about me.
Look on your face.
I'm still a virgin.
You lie like a big dog in heat.
This is Houston Bernard, and the song is Say Goodbye.
Houston, I want to tell you something. You're not like any man I've ever met. I know you're not shy.
Of the After Effects.
Ah, Houston Bernard. What's the name of that CD?
It's called See the World.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's certainly not his first CD. He's got quite a bit of music out.
Whoa. You want to talk about futuristic? This copyright is 2009.
He needs to pull out a whole lot more than his music.
2009?
Hello.
How did he do that?
How did he do what?
The copyright is 2009.
Probably the same way you get a lot of the stuff you want.
Hey.
Hey, which means
talent.
It says, please don't replicate. Exactly. Send people to HoustonBernard.com. But if copyright's not invoked till 2008, that means you can steal it all you want now.
Mm. You mean 2009?
Yeah, I mean copyright. Yeah, 2009.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go to HoustonBernard.com.
Ooh. Guess we need to send. Can we go to HoustonBernard.com instead?
He totally didn't listen to that.
I'm not paying attention anymore.
Did you ever?
Uh-oh. I've given up, you know. There's some days I leave here, you know, I just figure it's a lot easier just to...
Okay, so...
Let me see that picture.
Let's see. What do we got here?
This is the one that got them all hot and bothered.
Nice. Very nice.
Okay.
How old is he?
Doesn't say.
Last 15 minutes.
Who cares?
I do.
Okay.
He's got a little more fur on his chest than your guy does. And that's again, I've got a little more hair.
Chicken chest. That is.
It's okay.
But you got. So, oh, he's also on MySpace, of course.
Yes.
Of
course.
Mm.
We were discussing MySpace earlier, I think.
So,
any other interesting things?
We have this story coming out of.
Okay, you're
Germany.
Nowhere near a microphone, so.
I'm going to have to steal Jimmy's, I guess.
Go ahead.
German Lutherans could elect first gay bishop. Gay clergyman is standing for election as Bishop of Schleswig. Horst Gorski, a member of the Lutheran Church in Germany. There's one other candidate in the July 12th election. If chosen, he could open a schism with the AKD, claim some leading conservatives. 30% of Germans are members of the church. Some of the 23 member churches in the denomination bless same-sex couples. Yeah, I know it started on this side. So, this is what we got here.
Come again? What?
Exactly.
That's what he was trying to do.
Anyways,
Bed, Chris. Bed.
Well, that's what Lewinsky's dry cleaner said, but she goes, no, 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 it's mustard.
If elected, he would be the first gay bishop of the EKD, which is a federation of regional Lutheran Reformed and United Protestant churches. That's a mouthful if ever there was one. His election could create rifts similar to those caused by the question of gay clergy and same-sex union in several other worldwide faiths, most prominently the Anglican Communion. However, Maria Jepsen, who was elected as the world's first female Lutheran bishop in 1992, said she did not believe relations with other churches would suffer if gay bishops were elected. Gorski is a widely respected theologian who founded a center for gay and lesbian pastors. Launching his candidacy in Kiel this week, Gorski spoke about religious values and made no reference to his sexuality, reports Reuters. Gorski previously stated there has been initial misgivings about homosexuality when he took his post as archdeacon, but after a few years, it was no longer an issue, he says.
I'm sorry, black man, if I
well,
said,
it's still
he said homosexuality, I'm going...
Homosexuality!
Homosexuality!
Yeah. Tonight, all right?
It's still an issue here
gang
in the U.S. because the my parents are members of a Lutheran church, and I've been getting the info on Grace Lutheran right down the street from us. Has been without a pastor for quite some time, and they have chosen to call a gay pastor to their congregation. It's the process they're going to have to undergo is actually called extraordinary ordination.
And extraordinary ordination?
Yeah. Extraordinary ordination. Which basically says that they're having to ordain this minister outside of the structure of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Basically, the bishop for the Houston area cannot preside or even be in attendance for this ordination because the ELCA neither endorses nor condemns gay clergy. They had this non-participatory thing. The ELC actually recently released a statement on human sexuality, which basically says humans are sexual beings.
Well,
and it takes about 60 pages to say that.
Of course.
Oh my God.
It mentions nothing really.
Overkill?
Earth-stopping. Well, that's pretty much the ELCA has had sort of an ever-evolving stance of no opinion that just sort of changes in vagueness over the years.
They obviously forgot about the KISS method, though. I mean, 60 pages to say one thing. Work.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know.
So, I mean,
so I think it's the KISS that they're actually worried about. So, but anyways, you know, so anybody who wants
like
to, you know, anybody who wants to drop in on, you know, Grace Lutheran, I believe it's going to be the 26th of this month. It's a Saturday. They're actually going to be having an ordination of a gay minister.
I think, well, it sounds like something, you know.
So,
I remember back when I was still a practicing Catholic. It was
now you're a recovering Catholic.
Yeah, I gave that up for Lent years ago.
But, you know, there were certain things that because we were, you modernized it somewhat for American tastes, but, you know, like female altar servers.
Uh-huh.
You know, they said, you can go ahead and have them, but, you know, when the bishop comes to your church, you don't bring out the girls for that. Apparently he preferred to have the boys altar servers. I don't know.
Because it's our little secret.
But, you know, it's one of those things of, you know, what the law, you know, what the church law is. And
why altar boys part their hair down the middle, yeah. It's
oh, it's not
secret.
A sin,
yes.
It's not a sin.
You know, I
that's a
I assume that most of these congregations would also, on the larger sense, refer to themselves as Christians. And
one of these days they'll earn the big C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From my universe, the word Christian means that you're a follower of Christ, and Christ didn't say a blessed thing on the subject of queers.
As I've said before, the only
he
person...
He was the most revolutionary Jew in history.
Yeah.
The only mention of homosexuality in the New Testament...
Is the letters of Paul.
Is anything written by Paul... And Paul never met Jesus.
Nope.
He became an apostle after he saw the help wanted sign around Judas's neck.
I'm not religious, so I'm not going to say nothing about it.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, Virgin. We know
Judas Christ.
I'm not religious either. Spiritual, yes. Religious, no.
That's the one.
I love that statement. I mean, one of my favorite comedians always is like, don't you hate it when people say that? I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. He goes, well, I'm not honest, but you're really interesting.
We're coming up to the top of the hour here. And,
Oh,
we still got a few minutes. All right. Let's go to the
light. Let's end on a happy note.
Gay man cut off lover's penis and flushed it away.
Oh my God.
That was a happy note.
Well, he's
note.
Not going to be having fun anymore.
This is the Bobbit effect all over again.
Thank you very much. Man, well, no, that's a shoebox.
A jealous man has been arrested in the Philippines for cutting off the penis of his gay lover while he was sleeping in their hotel room on Tuesday and flushing it down the toilet. Jose Feliciano Valderrama, 35, told the police that jealousy and rumors that his lover was having a relationship with a woman drove him to violently attack his partner of 2 years, reports in Inquirer.net.
He should have just swept it under the rug with the rumor that vaginas have teeth in them.
That's not a rumor. That's true.
See, that's why I stay away from that stuff. You know, you've heard.
Valderrama is facing criminal charges for cutting off the penis of Marvick Manquera while Manquera was sleeping in their hotel room in Manila's Quezon City. Police said that after Valderrama chopped off his partner's penis and flushed it, he then attempted to commit suicide with a knife, but the victim stopped him.
If I were the victim, I'd be helping him.
I'd have been
shredding his wrist.
Is there anybody else who's, like, hearing in their heads, what, a six inches is in five, four is back, I can't.
Once again, we're going back to Hedvig.
Yeah, there you go.
Hotel staff rushed the victim to the hospital while Valderrama was arrested. The incident is thought to be the first known case of penis mutilation involving a gay couple in the Philippines. Congratulations on setting a whole new category.
There you go. Woo!
Well, the Tidyville man has a new toy to play with now.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I feel sorry for housekeeping. I shut her down, clean it up there. Is that it?
Yep, that's all,
we got five.
So that show here?
Something that victim's probably going to be hearing for the rest of his life. Is that it?
Mary, waiting to come in.
All right, you guys. Quick, say your goodbyes.
Bye.
Buonanotte.
Bye.
Blessed be.
Good night, Gracie.
See y'all next week.
Sean, if you're listening,
we love you.
Please. He's probably not even conscious now.
Probably not.
I'll be back next week.
You've been listening to After Hours. For the life of me, I don't know why the hell you are. I'm giving up listening. I'm pulling the plug on my own headphones.
Queer radio with attitude. Right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
Come in and save us, Mary.
Oh, honey, we're past saving.
She is ready to take over. Zadiko Pastele is in the house.
This is After Hours, KPFT Houston.
Let's put a little something in your ear.
Yeah, I'm gonna shove them. We're gonna shove a melon.
We're just talking about a little something.
Unfortunately, that didn't work for
we're shoving a melon in your ear.
I see.
Number 22 is coming Saturday, July 26th. Number 22 features Giant Bear from Tennessee. Local artists Opie Hendrix, Davis Fall, Los Vertigos, Pot Roast, The Hightailers, and many more. Number 22 is a benefit concert for KPFT. Number 22 is the 22nd annual Watermelon Dance and Summer Social. The event is held at the Last Concert Cafe, 1403 Nam Street, just off the Hardy McKee exit on I-10 in the heart of downtown. 713-226-8563 gets you details. Dawn and David promise a great time for all. Number 22 starts around 2 p.m. So come on down, meet your friends, and dance in the sand. And enjoy a slice of the other red meat. Icy cold watermelon. See you Saturday, July 26th at the Last Concert Cafe for number 22, a Houston classic. Supporting 90.1 KPFT Houston.
On a planet where over a billion people live on less than $2 a day, facing the prospect of starvation, where the lives of millions of children are cut short by curable diseases, where brutal wars grind on in Iraq and Afghanistan and hellholes like Guantanamo stay open for business, where nooses spring up like weeds, immigrants are hunted, and the availability of abortion is rapidly disappearing, where youth are treated as either criminals or commodities, and where all this is totally unnecessary, the world badly needs revolution. Come hear the presentation on Re-envisioning Revolution and Communism, What is Baba Vakin's New Synthesis? Presentation will be followed by a discussion, Saturday, July 12th, 11:30 a.m., Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church, 2025 West 11th Street at TC Gesture. For further information, contact 713-684-4701. 713-684-4701. Habrá interpretación al español. KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.